Currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. I'll probably say it 3 more times. See, in my line of work, you've got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You've got to catapult the propaganda.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Less than a day to go for the launch of the space shuttle, if the weather will allow it. CBS's Peter King says some experts still worry.
NASA Administrator Michael Griffin says the media has overblown the controversy surrounding objections to the launch.
What you're seeing is a good process. Maybe you haven't seen it before.
NASA safety officer and lead engineer both lobbied for further redesign of the shuttle's fuel tank to eliminate yet more of the potentially dangerous foam.
We get all those opinions on the table. We get all the background that we have on the table. And then the senior managers have to make a decision. That's what we do.
Peter King, CBS News at the Kennedy Space Center.
AAA says most people who travel this long holiday weekend are going by car. The variable, of course, is distance. In Los Angeles, KNX's Vita Sofronikis.
Most Californians aren't traveling very far this year, mostly by car, as far away as Las Vegas and areas up and down the state. This woman blames gas prices.
The gas is so high that I think a lot of people are staying closer to home.
We tend to overlook the fact that not everyone can get out of town.
I'm working all the holidays this year, so I will be staying at work.
Vita Sofronikis, CBS News, Los Angeles.
A potential case of mad cow disease has been found in Canada. Manitoba, a mature crossbred beef cow, which was headed for the human food chain, but did not make it. The Army is investigating charges of rape and murder by U.S. soldiers. CBS's Lee Cowan.
The commanding general here in Iraq says that the Army's criminal investigation command has actually opened up an investigation into an incident in which soldiers allegedly killed an entire family, a family of four Iraqi civilians, in their home in an area just south of Baghdad.
UPS has a deal with its pilots on a new contract. It ends a 3-year stalemate, and it'll keep the cockpits full. Terms not disclosed. President Bush took the Japanese Prime Minister to Elvis Presley's mansion, Graceland, in Memphis today because he wanted to see it.
I'm Peter Mayer in Memphis.
Unusual.
That's how President Bush sums up this rock and roll summit. The folks at Graceland will long remember the surreal scene. The Prime Minister of Japan, an Elvis fanatic, serenading the President, the First Lady, and Priscilla and Lisa Marie Presley.
Wise man.
At the end of the day, Koizumi calls his visit to the Presley Mansion a dream come true. Peter Mayer, CBS News at Graceland in Memphis.
It's been expected, of course. President Bush has declared a major disaster exists in some of the flood-ravaged areas of Pennsylvania. There may be others to come. The kind of sacrilege that's making folks angry in Portsmouth, Ohio. Thieves have been vandalizing the graves of military heroes, stealing the $700 copper and bronze plaques to sell for the puny price of recycled metals, about $2 or $3 a pound. 20 plaques stolen in 2 weeks, according to detectives who say addicts do it to buy more drugs. Wall Street, the Dow lost 40.5 points today. This is CBS News.
What tobacco issues are important to you?
I do not want my kids to smoke.
Last night, Sarah went to PhilipMorrisUSA.com.
I knew I needed a few tips on what to say and how to say it if my message was going to sink in.
If you're a parent who'd like help starting the conversation with your kids about not smoking and handling peer pressure, expert advice and information is available online. Find out more. Visit PhilipMorrisUSA.com.
You trust your car to take you places this summer. So who do you trust to take care of your car? Sears Auto Centers. Full-service car care, bumper to bumper. From diehard batteries to all the top tire brands, even on Sundays. All backed with a national guarantee of satisfaction. And right now, it's our biggest Michelin tire sale of the year, with Michelin tires at the lowest prices of the season. If you're going places this summer, make sure your car is going to the place that protects it best. Sears Auto Centers. See store for guarantee details. Exclusions apply. See LN7806.
Boeing recruited the Air Force's top procurement officer while she worked for the Air Force. That has proved to be an expensive no-no.
Boeing will pay the federal government $615 million to settle civil and criminal charges involving improper use of competitors' information on Air Force and NASA contracts for launch services. In return, the government has agreed not to file criminal charges regarding the company's hiring of a former top Air Force procurement official, Darlene Druyan. Druyan has admitted that Boeing influenced her actions while she was still working at the Pentagon.
CBS's Beverly Lumpkin in Washington. Andrew Padilla says he first thought it was a squirrel in his backyard, then realized it was a teeny tiny little monkey, a marmoset from the jungles of South and Central America. He fed it crackers and bananas, and it stayed around long enough for San Mateo, California Animal Control to catch him. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Have you ever found a penny on the ground? Of course you have. Well, imagine that for the next 50,000 steps you take, there's always a penny at your feet. It feels like that.
Have you ever put on a pair of clean pants and found a $20 bill in the pocket? Man, that's a good feeling, right? Well, take that feeling and multiply it by 25 pairs of pants, and you're close.
New GEICO customers report average annual savings of $500 on their car insurance. Discover how it feels and how much you could save. Go to GEICO.com. Simple as that.
You trust your car to take you places this summer. So who do you trust to take care of your car? Sears Auto Centers. Full-service car care, bumper to bumper. From diehard batteries to all the top tire brands, even on Sundays. All backed with a national guarantee of satisfaction. And right now it's our biggest Michelin tire sale of the year, with Michelin tires at the lowest prices of the season. You're going places this summer. Make sure your car is going to the place that protects it best. Sears Auto Centers. See store for guarantee details. Exclusions apply. CLN 7806.
Oh, that's where I'm supposed to press this button here. I'm sorry. Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. Heading into this long July the 4th holiday weekend, we've got a lot to talk about. Coming up on our program today, our weekly debriefing with Scott Dick, former Army Major, who fills us in on issues related to military and veterans affairs. They found that laptop with 26 million veterans' personal identities and information on it. And that's a relief to Scott. He got some free credit insurance for a minute. We'll find out if that's still in effect. Also on today's program, one of our longtime listeners, Ed Porter, who is a member of the city council in Santa Cruz, is going to join us to talk about one of his pet projects. It's called Personal Rapid Transit. And if you can imagine something like your car hooked up to a rail line where you could just sit there and wait until your car delivers you to your destination, well, that's the general idea. And we're going to talk about that and how it might help us in these days of $3 plus gasoline prices. Also on the program today, the Assembly Budget Chair, John Laird, Democrat from Santa Cruz, will join us. The budget has been completed, signed by the governor, and on time. Yes, before July 1st. I think it's the first time in about 5 years. We'll talk about that and also Arnold's outreach to the Gay Republicans, the Log Cabin Club, last night, and that disappointing vote from State Senator Joe Dunn, which ended the process that could have led to a bill for compassionate choices or dignity in dying here in the state of California. We'll talk about that with the Assemblyman. And then Brad Friedman, fresh back from his appearance on Lou Dobbs on CNN, fresh back from two powerful town hall meetings, one in Los Angeles, one in San Diego, related to the validity of the primary vote that sent Brian Bilbray in to fill out the term of the convicted Republican Congressman Duke Cunningham. We'll talk with his Bradness about that coming up as usual in today's final hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. You're welcome to join us at any time with a question or comment. That's why we provide telephones and, you know, call this a telephone talk show. On the Central Coast, the number is 831-899-5792. You can call me toll-free at 888-579-2540. And my email's available 24/7, peter@peterbcollins.com. Joining us this hour is the author of a new book called All Rise, and we're going to learn some new terms, rank, rankism, dignity, malrecognition, and we're going to talk about how human beings treat one another in view of the concept of rankism. Robert W. Fuller is the former president of Oberlin College, and he studied at Princeton and Columbia. And he has published this book. This is the second that you've written on this topic. Is that right, Bob?
That's right. I did an earlier one called Somebody's and Nobody's about 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And let's define terms for people who are new to this subject area. What is rank, and in your view, rankism?
Well, rank is familiar to everybody, and the first thing you think of is rank in the military setting, where we have corporals, privates, lieutenants, majors, generals of four different kinds.
Allow me to salute.
Yeah. Rank is well known in the military context, but it actually operates in every hierarchy that we live our lives in. If you think of a hospital, for example, there's the doctor and there's the nurse and mm-hmm. there's the patient who, until recently, was overwhelmingly outranked by the doctor. But there's a bit of a shift in that ranking underway now, at least in California, I think throughout the country. If you look at schools or universities, you have ranks. You have president, provost, dean, full professor, associate professor, assistant professor,
tenured professor.
Most importantly, that's the key rank distinction.
Mm-hmm.
Much more important than this associate and full professor is tenure, non-tenure track.
Right.
If you look in the family, there are ranks. We're not so conscious of it, but the parents outrank the children.
Mm-hmm.
They have authority that the children grow into but don't begin with.
In Asian cultures, the way in Russia everybody becomes a Misha?
Yeah.
In Asian cultures, inside the family, children are referred to by their birth order.
Uh-huh.
So the father calls out for the number two son,
right.
Not Wang Chung or, you know, whatever his name happens to be.
There's a sibling ranking as well. Of course, we have it, too, in the West, but it's tacit. I was the oldest of three brothers in mm-hmm. my family, and in some sense, I still have certain deference from my younger brothers, even though we're now all in our 60s.
Well, I'm a middle brother of five, and mm-hmm. I really like it here. It's a great position. I was able to figure out what not to do because my older brothers got in trouble, and I still was able to manipulate my younger brothers.
Yes, and as a middle sibling, you might have been the victim of rankism from above. You weren't necessarily, because a lot of people handle their rank in such a way that they respect the dignity of those around them and those of less power and lower rank. But some older brothers don't do that.
Quick example, I went to high school. All my brothers went to the same high school, and as we, you know, moved up in the ranks, if you're old enough to drive, you got to drive. And my immediately older brother, the number two son, made me sit in the back seat. And his mm-hmm. friends got to ride in the front with him.
Yes.
And when I became old enough to control the carpool, I insisted that my younger brother sit up front with me.
So you see, that helps me introduce this concept of rankism. Your second oldest brother was somewhat rankist towards you. But you did not do what most people do who are victims of rankism. Most people pass it on to someone of lower rank. That's the way we have to handle our frustration with it, because by definition, the person who outranks you has more power. So you risk something when you challenge his power directly. But that's why the tendency is to suppress one's instinct to hit back mm-hmm. at when confronted with rankism, and instead bite your tongue and wait for a chance to send it somewhere else, usually to a younger sibling.
Now, rankism as you define it, and you did coin the term, right?
Mm-hmm, yes.
And you get royalties?
No royalties for a coinage.
Okay. So rankism can have positive and negative implications.
I don't know about the positive. For that, it would have to be true that racism has positive implications. Mm. Rank is not necessarily a bad thing. Often it's a very useful tool for organization.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe what you meant was that rank has positive applications. We use it in a constructive way all the time. When we go to the hospital for surgery, we want the surgeon to conduct the operation, not the nurse, not mm-hmm. the candy striper.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we take it as a matter of faith that people of high rank, at one point at least, earned that high rank and have some knowledge that goes with it, that supports their still having that high rank. So rank itself is not the culprit here,
mm-hmm.
but it covers an awful lot of abuse.
Yeah.
And it can be abusive precisely because rank holds greater power. And I talk of the high-ranking people, the general term for them, the generic term, are the somebodies. And the low-ranking people, the generic term for them is the nobodies. And it can be very risky to be an uppity nobody.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as you say that, I'm hearing Jesse Jackson's Democratic Convention speech, "I am somebody."
Mm-hmm.
And there he was trying to claim dignity on behalf of a class of people.
Right, and that's a slightly different use of the word somebody and nobody than I was just giving. It's used differently in our culture. When you say, "I am somebody," you're usually expressing some pride and satisfaction, and sometimes, as Jesse was, speaking for a group.
I understand. Now, let's define the term malrecognition.
Well, recognition, first, is what we all seek, because we know that when we have recognition for a contribution we've made, a certain dignity inheres in that. We are much less vulnerable to banishment, to exile from the tribe or the group, if we're getting regular recognition. Malrecognition is the opposite. It's analogous to malnutrition. Good nutrition nurtures your body and your physical well-being. Malnutrition means your body's wearing down. And malrecognition and malrecognition function the same way, but not on the body directly. They function on the mind and the spirit that way.
Mm-hmm.
So when we receive recognition for our contribution, whether it be a contribution that wins a Nobel Prize or a contribution of vacuuming the rug of a corporation at midnight, when we do get recognition for that, we feel we won't be kicked out.
Mm-hmm.
We have a certain sense of belonging in a group because we're playing a necessary part.
Mm-hmm.
But most people in most large organizations don't take the trouble to understand how other people in those organizations are contributing to the whole thing working. The woman who vacuums that rug at midnight is not invited to the Christmas party, and more seriously, she's paid minimum wage. So she feels very replaceable. Mm-hmm. She does not feel secure in the role.
Yeah. We're going to take a break, and as we continue, Bob Fuller is going to define for us applications of the term rankism, how it works, how humans respond in these situations, what the negatives are, and what we might be able to do to change this and actually make a better world. All Rise is the name of the book, subtitled Somebodies, Nobodies, and the Politics of Dignity. We're talking with Robert W. Fuller, and we'll continue in just a moment. Your calls and comments are welcome, and you are somebody. We will acknowledge you if you call and talk with us on the show today. 831-899-5792 for the Central Coast, or toll free. You can call me at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth.
Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyet, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Hey, who are you laughing at, huh? We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. And my guest is Bob Fuller, Robert W. Fuller. His new book is called All Rise. And in our first segment, we define some of the key terms here, rank and rankism. Now, Bob, give us some examples of how rankism plays out in our daily lives. Bullying boss, a difficult coworker.
Yeah, an arrogant coworker who puts you down, who has higher rank than you do, is pulling rank on you in a way that's damaging and actually even bad for your health. A bully boss, especially so. An arrogant doctor who refuses to work with you as a partner in your own health and withholds information. A parent who practices child abuse, that's an extreme example of rankism, and it's similar to the sexual abuse that priests visited upon choir boys, and other religions are really just as guilty of that kind of sexual rankism. Mm-hmm. And you get spiritual rankism sometimes from people who play holier than thou and put you down in that way. So those are there have been some rankism in the headlines. In addition to the priest abuse scandal, there was the Enron scandal, where high-ranking executives not only paid themselves obscene salaries, but also really stole from the company and ruined the lives of shareholders and employees. That's a kind of rankism.
I'm one of them. I was just raising my hand. I was an Enron shareholder.
You were.
Yeah, I'm pissed.
Yeah, you should be. See, rankism causes indignity, and indignity causes indignation.
Yeah.
And first you just feel, how could they have done this to me, to us? I mean, what a horrible indignity to steal the life savings and impoverish people like that. Mm-hmm. And then that indignity turns to indignation, and it's bottled up so long as there's no recourse, no redress. But finally, there is one through the courts in the Enron case, and despite many pundits predicting these fellows would never go to jail and never be convicted, it looks as if they have been convicted and will go to jail.
Yeah. I'm thinking of the Supreme Court case about the Guantanamo detainees.
Yeah.
To me, that's a real obvious example of rankism, where we are taking these people and holding them indefinitely without charges, without minimal human rights. And I view that as something that will blow back on the United States for decades to come.
Rankism always blows back, you see. You get away with it for a while, but gradually the world or the nobodies team up against you and get back at you. Rankism instills indignation, and it causes the world, in the case you've just mentioned of Guantanamo, to disrespect us. And another even more extreme example and visible one of the same ilk was the Abu Ghraib scandal, which was the poster for rankism, what happened there.
Let me read from the book. Rankism is the ism that, once eradicated, would pretty much eliminate the rest of them. Rankism is so ingrained, so common, it's hard to even notice it. Rankism gives a name to something we've all experienced but probably not given much thought to. Once you have a name for it, you see it everywhere. It's comforting to know that a lot of the insults I put up with in my life are being experienced by people everywhere. I, for one, am sick of being nobodied. Recognizing rankism makes you more conscious of your dignity. And that's a very important pivotal phrase, because in your book, what you propose is that dignity is the antidote to rankism.
That's right. Dignity is the rankism is the precise cause of indignity. You can always trace the feeling of indignity to an abuse of rank by someone who's a power holder or a system that holds power over you. So connecting rankism with indignity is a key, and it's very analogous to connecting racism with injustice. We had to take on racism about 40 years ago, full steam, and after many public demonstrations and an awful lot of discussion, we finally took steps in America to disallow racism formally. That doesn't mean it's gone overnight, of course, but it does mean that if you want to be an overt racist, it's going to mean you're not going to get promoted. You're not going to rise in the hierarchy, because you have really begun to violate the law. That's not the case at all with regard to rankism. Rankism is still widely sanctioned, but I think we can put it in the doghouse alongside of racism and sexism in the next decades.
In your book, you quote Dr. Noel Hinners from NASA, and he says, prior to the Challenger flight, engineers had warned that the unusually low temperature in Florida could be a problem for the O-rings. In this case, pressure by management to launch on time silenced engineering concerns. This wasn't technological rankism. Rather, it was garden variety managerial rankism that led to one of our most vivid national disasters. The Columbia accident investigation report shows a similar phenomenon. As what the board calls an informal chain of command began to shape the flight's outcome, location in the structure empowered some to speak and silenced others.
Yeah, rankism is a terrible dysfunctionality in an organization like NASA or in the nuclear regulatory industry, and it has actually brought us close to nuclear meltdowns in some of these reactors because of the rankism there. It's a bigger threat. These human behavioral things are a bigger threat than the nuclear physics is.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break and return, and your calls are welcome. If you've experienced rankism or perpetrated it, and you'd like to talk about it, we'd like to talk with you. 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or call us toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a Baba Ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay Area. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make Monterey and our region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience, who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Tom Hartman.
We have given our electoral process, the franchise by which democracy happens, the most vital part of the commons by which we administer the commons, we have privatized it. We have turned it over to private for-profit corporations.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
And they have no damn business telling us how we voted.
The new Radio Free America, Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues on this fabulous Friday afternoon, heading into the long holiday weekend. You'll hear the best of Peter B. Collins, whatever that means, pre-recorded programs Monday and Tuesday, so I can get a little time off and go sailing and hit some barbecues, that kind of thing. We continue now with Robert W. Fuller. His new book is called All Rise. And it's a fascinating analysis of the way human beings treat one another around the concept of rank and rankism. And as he described, it's most obvious in military structures and corporate hierarchies, but we do it in our own lives in ways that we're often not aware of. And Bob Fuller, next, I'd like to turn to your analysis of the way these concepts play into our current struggle with terrorists. I will never say, well, I do say it sometimes because it's in the vernacular. I don't buy this concept of a war on terror or a war on terrorism. After all, we don't have a war on derringers or a war on landmines or a war on aircraft carriers. We usually describe the people we're engaged with. Putting that aside, though, you offer an interesting analysis here of malrecognition and its potential in or its influence in the whole world of terrorism, what motivates terrorists to take these extreme measures. So talk a little bit about how you approach this.
Well, it might help to mention a situation everybody knows about before we go straight to terrorism and mention the origins of World War II.
Okay.
Because that war, which began in the late 30s in Europe and then in 1941 in the U.S., is traced by many to the humiliation suffered by the Germans at the end of World War I. Humiliation is a kind of very systemic indignification of a whole people, and it makes them indignant, as I mentioned before. It makes them vulnerable to the blandishments, susceptible to the arguments of a demagogue. And so it came to pass. Hitler would never have been elected had there been a magnanimous peace treaty after World War I, as there was to a much greater extent in the aftermath of World War II. We learned something.
Yeah.
It's important to know what we learned. And what we, I think we should have learned is you humiliate the defeated party to a war at your great peril, because they will then be looking for a chance to get back at you as a nation, just as the humiliated employee bides his time and looks for a chance to get even with the boss who bullied him. He may only do it by stealing paper clips, but he may do it by a more serious form of sabotage.
Or going postal.
Or going postal is mm-hmm. a classic example. Or the Columbine thing, where these kids who end up going crazy and shooting their classmates and teachers in schools are always outsider kids who have been ridiculed and who have been dissed and who feel invisible and unwanted.
Yeah.
It's a dangerous policy. And so, too, it is in the world and at large, where if we as a nation throw our weight around, smaller countries who can't oppose our weight in the same terms will find covert ways of getting even with us. Some of terrorism has its roots in that. Now, the chief terrorists often are motivated by something quite different. Osama bin Laden is a rich man. He was not personally insulted by America, but his supporters feel they've been, and without all his support, he wouldn't have a hundredth the power that he has. So often a leader of a terrorist group will have motives that are actually quite narrow and political, such as, for example, bin Laden may want to take over his native country of Saudi Arabia. And this is an indirect way to get there. But he would be nothing without his supporters, just as Hitler would have been nothing without his the third of the nation that voted him into office in 1933. So I think terrorism has its roots in international rankism.
All right, and I understand that, and I was intrigued by that approach. The first question that arose is, don't we have different standards, different cultural standards of rankism that make a resolution very difficult because we're not speaking the same language, literally or figuratively?
Well, I think the differences are less than we often think. I think an abuse of power is felt by a Japanese or by a Brazilian or by someone from the Fuji Islands or by someone from Brooklyn in the same way. There's something universal about indignity and humiliation, and I think we all react the same way to it. It can be dressed up differently. I mean, at one talk I gave, an American got up and said, well, there's none of this indignity in Japan. He'd been there, and he was sure that this was the case. Whereupon several Japanese in the argument in the room got up and said, we fooled you. There is plenty of indignity and rankism in Japan. It's just that the manners cover it up, and it's subtler, but it's just as hurtful to the people who are victimized by it.
To me, the epitome of that, and I've only made one trip to Japan, but I was struck by the in Tokyo at 10 or 11 o'clock at night, these bands of people, you know, suited men who've been drinking whiskey all night, who are clearly suffering, that they're in pain, and they turn to excessive drinking. And my theory, and I certainly am less qualified than many to say this, but is that it is because of the institutional rankism that it is so locked in. And while they used to be guaranteed a job for life if they performed adequately, there still is a hierarchy in Japan that is very intrusive and very hard for people who wish to rise above it.
I think that's a perfect example of institutional rankism.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't even have to take the form of a boss being nasty to someone. It might just be in the institutional sense, in the same way that the fact that the United States now has a richer segment of the population and another segment that's very close to being a permanent underclass. That's an example of institutional rankism, analogous to institutional racism. It's a whole complex, interwoven set of laws and practices and wage structures that create a permanent underclass.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the phones. Dave's on the line from Humboldt. Hello, Dave. You're on with my guest, Robert Fuller.
Well, Peter, and Robert, I had for several years run residential care programs, large group homes for troubled kids, and had to hire a lot of employees. And it was very much my conscious effort to invite participatory management. I did not want to be a dominant boss. I wanted to find out how the employee would be comfortable working and see if we could make it work for them. I was surprised at how many didn't know what to do with that. They felt like there needed to be a dominant person. If you're not going to be the boss, then I'm going to be the boss. I'll take over and run the place. So, often I ended up having to say, be more structured and rude than I would have ever had to be. But I don't know if I'm getting this across clearly. I hope I am. That some people require that there be a dominant person in the relationship, a boss that invites, I welcome your input. Let's see if we can make it work the way you want to make it work, isn't meeting their need to be structured.
Well, we used to be such that we required kings. We couldn't imagine ourselves participating in the governance function. I'm going back now 400, 800 years. And there are still countries where they have to have a strong man, where Iraq may well be an example, where the thing hung together with a strong man, with a tyrant at the top of it. And you take that away, and people have to learn how to participate in governance. And your employees that you describe probably they couldn't learn overnight. They either had to do an old dominance subordination model, or it felt like anarchy to them. So you would have to have gone slowly to nurture a sense of participation, while at the same time retaining your ultimate authority, which is the job you had, but teaching them that they would be listened to and that their input would affect your decisions. So I bet you actually did achieve a measure of democratization over time.
With an awful lot of employees, that was the truth, I'm sure. But there were some that really they came through like, either you're going to be the boss or I'm going to be the boss.
Yeah.
I can't work this way.
And yeah, that's right.
Well, and also, Dave, I'm the kind of person who doesn't do well with the committee approach. I like consensus. I love it when everybody's on board with a policy or a decision. But often the process of getting there is too frustrating for me, and I prefer to let somebody else be the leader to herd people along, and then I'll say, yeah, I agree with that.
I like to do that, too. You know, some, though, it came to a point where I had to say, I am not asking you to take over and run the program. I am asking for your input on how you want it to go. And so
Yeah, and people need a learning curve to go through, to learn how to participate without just jumping from one king to another king.
Well, yeah. And also leaders need to know when to actually provide direction and firm leadership,
yeah,
and when to be active listeners.
That's right. And a lot of leaders don't have those skills, although we're learning them. And as we do, our companies become more creative, more productive, less rankist, more happier places. It's known now that rankism on a chronic basis is extremely bad, even for your health. It's as bad for your health as smoking 3.5 packs of cigarettes a day, according to one study.
I so much appreciate this program. You always have excellent guests, and you've got another one here, Peter. Thank you.
All right, Dave, thanks for the call. He's a great listener, and we appreciate you in the same way. No rankism here. All Rise is the name of Robert W. Fuller's book. It's out in hardcover. And you should visit the website, breakingranks.net. If you have a bully boss or other issues with rankism, there's help for you there. Check it out, breakingranks.net. We'll continue in just a moment, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Tom Hartman.
And Hans Blix was saying, there's no threat there.
In a week and a half before we invaded, Hans Blix and Mohammed Al-Bar and I were going to submit a report to the UN saying, there's no evidence of weapons of mass destruction here. We have found the proof that they actually destroyed them. And Bush knew that. That's why he had to invade as quickly as he did.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
It's not a war. It's a crime. Invading another country is a crime. Just like when Hitler invaded Poland, this is a crime.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings, 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichorn, owner of Eichorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
We're talking about the role of rank and rankism in human relations. The book is called All Rise, and my guest is Robert W. Fuller.
Smiling faces sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show no traces
of the evil that lurks within.
Smiling faces.
That's from the summer of 1970, a group called The Undisputed Truth. Smiling faces sometimes don't tell the truth. And in rankest situations, there's a whole lot of deception going on, isn't there, Bob?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a whole... Rankism flourishes in the dark, too. I mean, one way to get at one big piece of it is to use open budgets in your universities and your colleges and your corporations. Because rankism, if you look at what Enron did, it all happened in the dark. It all happened in the boardroom.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that CEOs in this country are now paid 500 times what the janitor is paid is an obscenity. And it's pure rankism. It's arranged by cozy little boards of directors that all serve on each other's board and
yep.
all agree to raise each other's salary.
Yeah.
The factor that is operative in most of the rest of the world is closer to 10, not 500,
mm-hmm.
the difference between. And 10 sounds pretty big to me, but it's so much better than 500 that we ought to shoot for that.
I don't want to presume your politics, but as I look at the Bush administration, it's rank and rankistic all across the board. This is the most secretive administration mm-hmm. we've had, the most condescending in terms of what we need to know, what we ought to know, and this paternalistic approach to, quote-unquote, keeping us safe. This whole approach to the war in Iraq, which was based on misinformation, disinformation, and outright lies, was a way of manipulating nobodies into an army of lemmings to support this president and the war. And to me, most egregiously, is this incredible transfer of wealth, which mm-hmm. is going to enhance the divide that you just described between hourly workers and their CEOs. But you know, this administration has benefited from the projection that too many Americans embrace, which is that we're all just about to enter the upper class. We're all about to get a Lamborghini and the stock options and the $60 million salary. That's what television opiates us with, if you will.
Yeah.
And so people say, yeah, hey, more tax cuts. I didn't get anything out of that, and the government couldn't respond to Katrina, and we're bankrupt. But, yeah, I don't want my taxes raised. People just have this knee-jerk reaction that's based on an identification with the super rich.
That's right. And indignation is growing. Indignation is growing all across the country about the patronizing condescension and daddy knows best approach of this administration. Democratic administrations at time have lapsed into the same pattern, though. Rankism is not at all unique to Republicans. It's actually practiced by both parties. And I don't think we'll see that much of a change if the Democrats, we'll get rid of all the excesses you've just cited, Peter, but we won't see a real increment in social justice if the Democrats manage merely to eke out a victory by 52%. To get a measure of social justice in this country, to resume our march towards it, which we have actually been on for 200 years, with some remarkable progress in the mid-20th century, to resume that advance towards justice, we need political realignment of a fundamental sort. We need to drop off the 15% extremists of both the left and the right and have the 70% of sensible, moderate Americans in the middle organize against rankism in general, whether it's rankism of the left or rankism of the right. Some people see Hillary Clinton as condescending, just as some others see George Bush as condescending. Bill was never condescending. Bill Clinton. He had that common touch. So did Ronald Reagan, though, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting how whether you treat people with dignity isn't a function of party. So I can envision a new kind of center in American politics where the foe is rankism of all stripes, of all sorts. That's what it is we are against. What we're for is providing every person in the country with a life of dignity. And what that translates into in policy terms is universal health insurance, is a living wage, is no tolerance for the formation of a permanent underclass. So we adjust our tax policies so we don't get one. We don't wind up with two Americas. That's not an America where the American dream is alive. And America without its dream is not going to be loved and respected by the world.
And how do we sell it to a populace, as I pointed out, that has been imbued with the sense that selfishness, self-interest, greed, that these are generally good things, and that all I got to do is take care of myself, and hey, you're on your own, Bob.
Yeah, the you're on your own philosophy is only half the story. There's some truth in it. We all do need to take responsibility for ourselves, but it's also true that we're all in this together, and we need to find a way to balance the you're on your own philosophy with we're all in this together philosophy, and the dignitarian model does that. And it's described in full in this book, All Rise, Somebody's Nobody's and the Politics of Dignity. It's a book about the politics of dignity. I think that the selfish ethos that's been so strong in the last years, decade, is a temporary, is an aberration. I think what people really want is to be treated with dignity and to be assured that that will be with them as long as they live and that they can die with dignity and that meanwhile, before they do, they can live with dignity.
Mm-hmm.
That's a message. I've tried it in Wyoming and Idaho and in Ohio and Tennessee, and it's just as appealing there as it is in California and Massachusetts.
Hmm. Very interesting. Now, back to the Bush administration for a minute. And by the way, I don't dismiss your comments about the Democrats, and we don't make excuses for Democrats on this program.
Right.
But I'm interested if you are familiar with George Lakoff's analysis.
Yes, I am.
Of Republicans as the strong father,
mm-hmm.
and the tough kind of Old Testament style mm-hmm. father, and Democrats are, in his view, more positioned as the nurturing parent.
Right.
How do we connect those two concepts into the anti-rankism approach that you're hoping for?
I think that model is a bit simplistic. I know many Republicans who are absolutely nurturing parents, and many Democrats who are strict father types. There's some validity to it, but it didn't work to win an election in 2004, that model, because it was very much in play then. I think a better model is one that recognizes the validity of rank when it is used in such a way that the dignity of the lower ranking is respected, and where we watch out for any abuses of rank and we disallow them across the board. Just as we disallow other isms like racism and sexism and homophobia and ableism, we disallow rankism. That's a better way of synthesizing and creating a new middle and political realignment that's going to be necessary if we're actually going to provide any additional justice in this country, mm-hmm. if we're going to avoid falling into two Americas, one an underclass that's really chronically stuck in it, and another group of rich and affluent, well-off Americans.
So, Bob, in your work in trying to evangelize around this concept and the analysis, have there been any big breakthrough moments, ahas? Is there a person who just got it and relayed that to you in a special way?
This isn't perhaps quite the answer you're looking for, but recently in Tennessee, I talked to a group of people who were mostly fundamentalist Christians and were mostly Republicans, 80% at least. And afterwards, a girl came up and said, "Thank you, Dr. Fuller, for not insulting our Lord Jesus Christ." And that was a surprise to me because I had hardly mentioned him, but I had dealt with some of his philosophy as representing really a high moral ethical philosophy, and she was so used to being insulted and denigrated by liberals that she could tell that I basically was of a liberal persuasion.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a satisfying moment. I realized I was finding a way to talk about this stuff that didn't alienate people of fundamentalist Christian views.
Well, I think it's a powerful book. I want to recommend it to people. All Rise, Somebodies, Nobodies, and the Politics of Dignity. We've been talking with Robert W. Fuller. Thank you, Bob. Coming up next, Scott Dick joins us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll talk military and veterans issues.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Another U.S. military scandal in Iraq.
The alleged rape and murders by soldiers in Bravo Company occurred on March 12th.
NASA will try to get Discovery off the ground tomorrow.
We'll have a 60% chance of KSC weather prohibiting launch.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The case came to light earlier this month after two soldiers were kidnapped by Iraqi insurgents and viciously murdered. Members of their unit were offered post-traumatic stress counseling, and CBS News correspondent David Martin reports one soldier mentioned during counseling that he'd heard about an atrocity committed by troops against an Iraqi family.
The allegation is that on March 12th of this year, a small number of soldiers, somewhere between 2 and 4, raped an Iraqi woman and then murdered the woman and the members of her family, three other members of her family, including a child, then burned the bodies in an attempt to destroy all the evidence.
The Army's conducting a full-scale criminal investigation. The soldier suspected of committing the murders was discharged before the investigation started. He's back in the United States, and law enforcement is looking for him. Now this.
Net Zero, America's number one value-priced internet service, is only $9.95 a month, and there's no commitment and no credit card required. Signing up for Net Zero is so simple, you'll be online in minutes. Plus, Net Zero gives you powerful virus protection, and your service is backed by a connection guarantee. Join the millions of people who have switched to the internet service that ranks higher than AOL in customer satisfaction. Call 1-800-NET-ZERO or go to netzero.com.
Dad, this is my boyfriend, Scott.
So, where are you from, Scott?
Seattle.
Any brothers, sisters?
One brother.
How's your driving record?
Good.
Ever been arrested?
Huh?
Serving the military?
Sir?
Do you have any diseases?
Dad!
What if everything in life came with a 115-point inspection? Well, before we certify any Ford Lincoln Mercury pre-owned vehicle, it must first pass a rigorous point-by-point exam. Plus, all Ford Lincoln Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles come with a 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty, including 24-hour roadside assistance.
Any sports injuries?
No.
See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
The weather doesn't look good. Maybe a 40% chance to launch Space Shuttle Discovery tomorrow afternoon, but the safety concerns of some engineers will not keep it on the ground. CBS News correspondent Peter King reports.
NASA Administrator Michael Griffin says the media has overblown the controversy surrounding objections to the launch.
What you're seeing is a good process. Maybe you haven't seen it before.
NASA safety officer and lead engineer both lobbied for further redesign of the shuttle's fuel tank to eliminate yet more of the potentially dangerous foam.
We get all those opinions on the table. We get all the background that we have on the table. And then the senior managers have to make a decision. That's what we do.
Peter King, CBS News at the Kennedy Space Center.
Ready or not, here comes 2004 XP-14. It's an asteroid, and at least in astronomical terms, it will have a close encounter with Earth this weekend.
It will be approaching the Earth to within 1.1 lunar distances, which is about 270,000 miles. It's about the closest approach we've had by an object this large since 1925.
John Giorgini at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory says the asteroid is about a quarter mile in diameter. Best viewing, if the weather cooperates, will be late Sunday and early Monday, and you don't have to duck.
we can say confidently that there won't be any chance of impact for at least the next 424 years and probably a lot longer than that.
U.S. experts have analyzed this tape and believe it is the voice of Osama bin Laden. The tape was released late yesterday. The al-Qaeda leader narrates a video tribute to Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, calling the late leader of al-Qaeda in Iraq the Lion of Jihad. An Islamic extremist website says another message from bin Laden is coming, this one about Iraq and Somalia. After tests on 40 people in a driving simulator, a researcher says the law should treat talking and driving the same as drinking and driving. It should be banned. CBS News correspondent Lou Miliano has the story.
Few will argue driving under the influence of alcohol is dangerous. How about under the influence of a cell phone? Assistant professor of psychology Frank Drews at the University of Utah reports his latest research into cell phones and driving had some uncomfortable results.
They have delayed response times to the onset of braking lights, for example. They have a slowed recovery time. Once they have slowed down, it takes them longer, actually, to get back to their initial speed.
Drews said it made no difference whether the cell phone was hands-free or not. Lou Miliano, CBS News.
They took their case all the way to the Supreme Court and lost. Now the last two holdouts in New London, Connecticut, have agreed to give up their homes to make way for commercial development. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hey, if you can't beat the heat, join it. Get your hands on all kinds of scorching hot deals this Friday, 6 p.m. to midnight, at CompUSA's Midnight Madness. I'm talking smoking hourly specials, plus the hottest prices on all the coolest technology. HD TVs, monitors, and laptops starting at a sizzling $399. It's Midnight Madness, this Friday, 6 p.m. to midnight at CompUSA. We got it, we get it. Offer after rebate, see store for details.
Hello and welcome back to Ask the Orkin Man.
Orkin Man, I'm president of the Science Fiction Club.
Oh, fantastic.
We are armed and ready for the invasion.
Okay, now just be careful. Invaders, like roaches, can carry germs and diseases.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, if only I had a Silurian photon blaster.
I know, but at Orkin, we prefer baits with gels. We've been fighting invasions for over 100 years.
Oh, wait till I tell the other warlords.
Just teleport carefully.
Protect your home, protect your family. Orkin can help. Call 1-800-ORKIN-MAN.
Boeing will pay the government $600.
We roll into another hour now of the Peter B. Collins Show. I remain your humble host, Peter B. Coming up later this hour, we're going to talk about one way to deal with $3 a gallon gas. It's the personal rapid transit system. Ed Porter, who's one of our loyal listeners and sits on the city council in Santa Cruz, will be joining us. He'll introduce a couple of people who will help advance the story about electric vehicles and personal rapid transit. That's coming up later this hour. Right now, it's time for our weekly debriefing with Scott Dick. He retired from the U.S. Army as a major, served in the Marine Corps, too. And he is comfortably retired and hosts the Tasty Planet Show on KRXA in Monterey every Saturday afternoon and is kind enough to share his expertise with us on military and veterans affairs issues. Scott, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Peter. How are you?
Not too bad. Looking forward to this nice long holiday weekend, and you're going to be taking off for another adventure in Europe.
I am indeed. We leave on Tuesday. We'll be gone a month and back on August 1st, back to work.
All right. Well, that's exciting. The other good news for you, just as you get ready to leave, you'll know that, or at least you have a little bit more assurance, that your personal data as a veteran is not compromised and out there so that your credit cards or your passport might be invalidated while you're traveling. Interesting that they found, I guess, the laptop and the hard drives that have been missing.
Well, they offered a $50,000 reward for it, so that's a little bit more than they could get for it on eBay. Somebody anonymous turned it in, Peter, and supposedly the data analyst folks are looking at it to make sure that nobody accessed the hard drives. That's interesting.
And so does it make you feel a little more safe, or do you think that this just points up the vulnerabilities that you and 26 million others have been subjected to?
Well, it just points to the vulnerabilities. This is a reoccurring theme with the VA. If you look at the timeline of the loss, the individual who was authorized to take all that stuff home with him, now it's come out, was reported it the very next day, and his bosses held it for 2 weeks before they told the the chairman or the secretary.
The secretary.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And then it took him several days to report it to Congress. So that any number of bad things could have happened. Of course, then we've had the data loss and the compromise of information on the web, open source web, from Navy people. I have no more confidence in the VA just because they found this laptop, if they found the laptop, et cetera. You know, mm-hmm. I'm skeptical, Peter.
Yeah. And what I haven't heard yet is whether they're still going to extend the free credit insurance to you and the 26.5 million others who were vulnerable at minimum.
Well, I bet you $10 they're not, because this has all been solved completely 100% by the recovery of this laptop.
Somehow I hear a little cynicism in your voice.
Oh, did you? Not only that, but there's a lawsuit now started in the courts. Some group is suing the Veterans Department for $26 billion. They want $1,000 per veteran. So I'm going to have to put it in my will for that money to go to my grandson.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm never going to see the light of it. Even if that is successful, it'll be like 100 years from now.
Right, right, yeah. Any other lessons we should draw from this episode?
No, there's really no way to protect ourselves. Once we give up the information, it goes into the giant pot, and where that pot leaks, it's totally up to them. They can spend millions. In the FBI's case over the 90s, I think, Peter, if you remember, they spent a couple billion on a system that never worked and was never put into operation.
Right.
So I'm concerned that the VA is not going to do much with this, except, you know, they spanked one person and we find out that he was authorized. There is a bill in Congress now to remove the Social Security number from active duty military ID cards, and that's a step forward.
Mm-hmm. It to me, and of course I've never had to deal with the Veterans Administration, but it's another symptom of the ineptness of that department and the way this administration really has failed to operate the Veterans Administration in a way consistent with the values that they publicly state.
Well, sure. I mean, it's just a matter. I'd really like to look at the Secretary's qualifications to run a big department like that. I know he is a veteran, and I appreciate his service. However, I don't know if he's really got the skills necessary to run the Veterans Administration, and it could be just another case of more cronyism. Plus, the entrenched bureaucracy, they're going to fight anybody unless they're a real fire breather.
Yeah.
The VA is not famous for doing anything right, Peter.
Well, and at this particular time, we need an activist secretary of the VA who really would get in Bush's face and demand the money and the services that our returning vets and our retired vets deserve.
Right, but as long as you have cronies and pioneers going into those positions, nobody's going to shake the tree, wreck the boat, because they all supported him and raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for him, and they're part of the club. Why would you do that?
Yeah.
Just argue against their own best interest.
Mm-hmm. So, Scott, moving on to another subject, what was your reaction to the Supreme Court decision related to the detainees at Guantanamo Bay?
Well, I'm no lawyer, but it always smelled so bad to me that we would keep prisoners of a conflict. It's hard. We always criticized the British for holding terrorist suspects incognito, in secret, and indefinitely.
Mm-hmm.
We criticized them for that, and we also criticized Israel for that, and now we're doing it. And it doesn't seem very democratic to me, and it doesn't seem to be a military necessity, but who am I?
You're Major Dick.
I am indeed, and it's retired. And this whole idea of taking a guy off the battlefield and declaring him a terrorist.
Enemy combatant
who's guilty of conspiracy who is charged with conspiracy against United States citizens between 1997 and 2001. How could they enforce that? That's amazing. That's the charge that they're holding Osama bin Laden's bodyguard and driver.
Right. Hamdan is his name.
I don't see, is it a war crime? People say, those are war criminals. Rush Limbaugh says, those are war criminals. He was charged with conspiracy. And if you do that, if you take somebody off the battlefield, I don't understand, Peter. That makes no sense to me. It doesn't make military sense. I'm not a legal scholar. I'm sure somewhere, since the Geneva Convention appears to be quaint, they've thought up some other great new rules to impose to shape the world the way they see it or want to see it or want to have it.
Well, for me, what's truly remarkable is that despite the court packing that's gone on, and despite the fact that Justice Alito joined Scalia and Thomas in rejecting the decision, it was fascinating for me to see the Supreme Court repudiate key elements of the president's position. A, that these people are entitled to basic human rights, including the terms of the Geneva Conventions, and that we cannot hold them indefinitely without charging them. They do have a right to access. And the court was vague on exactly to what, but it's either the court system in a traditional manner, or it's a courts martial system under the Military Code of Justice. And so I'm pleased and frankly surprised, because I thought that these new justices, and also Roberts, the Chief Justice, recused himself properly, because he had ruled on this case at the appeals court level just a week before they offered him the Supreme Court job, curiously enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I had expected, frankly, was a pro-administration decision that was going to leave these people in limbo again indefinitely. So I'm encouraged that the Supreme Court saw the need to rein in the president, to once again remind him that the fact that he says we're at war is not a blank check of presidential authority, and that fundamentally these individuals, even though they have been defined outside the terms of the Geneva Convention, they're not called prisoners of war, they're called enemy combatants, that they are in effect prisoners of war, and that the distinction made is a distinction without a significant difference.
Correct. I was surprised by that giant Macy's Day Parade windbag, Thomas, actually having summoning enough energy to read anything in court out loud.
The first time in 15 years that he chose to orally present a dissent, and I believe that his record is still unbroken, that in all these years on the bench he has never asked a single question during oral arguments.
You have to be awake, Peter, to ask a question. And so he must have really been feeling his caffeine that day when he decided he was going to stand up and float above the masses and read that. I'm just not impressed whatsoever.
Well, I'm not sure if it was Scalia or Scalito who encouraged him to do it. We'll take a quick break and return with Scott Dick. If you have a question or comment, you can join us at 831-899-5792 from the Central Coast, or toll-free 1-888-579-2540. 16 minutes past the hour, you've got the Peter B. Collins Show.
This week on Rock Roll and Real Estate, meet Bob Kramer of Robert Kramer & Associates. Robert Kramer & Associates is a real estate investing company specializing in the foreclosure arena since 1984. If you've ever wanted to know about foreclosure real estate, this is the show to listen to. Rock Roll and Real Estate, heard on this station every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 415-830-2496. That's 415-830-2496. Rock Roll and Real Estate.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyer, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic. It's 419 on this Friday afternoon, and we've got Amy Knight.
Well, if you're traveling through Prunedale, much better news. Sound 101 after Dunbarton Road, you'll find Highway Patrol clearing a crash off the surface streets. Also 152 at 156. Watch out for a couple of stop signs down in the roadway. Traffic backed up for several miles in the lanes. And South 17 before Highway 85, a three-car collision off to the side. Traffic backed up into Campbell now. This report is brought to you by Volkswagen Passat, lowest ego emissions of any German-engineered sedan. Stop by your local San Francisco area Volkswagen dealer today and take a joyride. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
And Amy's going to be moving up. She got a big promotion, and somebody else will be doing traffic with us next week. We're going to miss you, Amy.
Oh, thanks, Peter. I'm going to miss you, too.
All right. Well, enjoy your promotion, and don't forget us now that you're moving up.
I won't.
All right. Oh, I forgot to plug that in, so we'll play this. It's the Peter B. Collins Show as we continue with our contributor on military and veterans affairs, Scott Dick. And Scott, just about a half an hour ago, a friend emailed me this information, which is news to me. On August 16th of this year, the U.S. will have been fighting in Iraq. The exact number of days that it took between Pearl Harbor and the surrender of Germany, and that amounted to 1,246 days. That's a little hard to believe, isn't it, that we're almost as invested in Iraq in time terms as we were in World War II?
Well, Peter, you have to understand the difference. World War II, we had a strategic objective that was articulated by all the coalition forces and all the allies, and in this case, the war in Iraq, we're attacking and trying to defeat an ism. It's General Odom's compared it to declaring war on the night attack. So the war on terrorism, it's nonsense and it doesn't mean anything. And as far as I can tell, I have not seen a strategic sentence about Iraq yet. Even with the strategy, remember we talked about the strategy document they put out last year.
Right.
It was really just a really bad PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah, all about victory, but no description of the route from here to there.
They had a bunch of numbers. We're going to count beans and bullets and bodies, and then that'll tell us if we won or not.
Mm-hmm. So, Scott, you wanted to tell us about a money issue. Elaborate.
Well, the Congressional Research Service, and for people who are not familiar with that, that is the nonpartisan congressional study group that works for Congress. They just recently issued a report that including, if you include the $67 billion supplemental funding bill, the CRS estimates that spending is about $8 billion a month for Operation Iraqi Freedom and $1.5 billion on Operation Enduring Freedom in Afghanistan a month.
Let's recap those numbers.
$8 billion in Iraq.
$8
billion. $1.5 billion in Afghanistan.
Holy cow, because, you know, I've been using numbers supplied by members of Congress that had moved up from $1 billion a week to $2.5 billion and then $4 billion a month. But I had not heard a rate higher than $4 billion a month until this.
Well, apparently they're talking through their hats, and that's why they gave the mission to the CRS to get this information. Now, they also said That's $2 billion more than in fiscal 2005 and $4 billion more than in fiscal 2004. And that includes the cost of up-tempo, the higher fuel costs, and, of course, the improved force protection equipment that Rumsfeld didn't think he was going to spend money on.
Yeah.
Because you don't go to war with the army you have. The war you want, you go to the war with the army you have.
Right.
So if you can contract, I think Rumsfeld's goal is to actually contract out war. That would be the last place for public dollars to go into, you know, private wallets.
Mm-hmm.
So, Peter, I want you to hang onto your wallet now.
It's actually not in my pocket. It's safely across the table here.
You should throw your body over it then. The report warns that even with a substantial drawdown that reduces the number of troops to no more than 74,000 by fiscal year 2010, total U.S. expenses could exceed $808 billion.
Holy cow. Well, I mean, we're well on our way to a trillion. And, of course, you know, this wildly exceeds any estimate that we were given prior to the war. And we still really have very limited accountability and oversight on this spending. Sure, Congress authorizes these supplemental budget bills, and they do keep them off the books by using this supplemental process. I believe they learned that from Enron. But ultimately, you know, now that we're talking about $8 billion a month in Iraq, what's that going to? We know they're not spending it on reconstruction. They've you know, really put a lid on that. Certainly they're spending it on security, and I know they're spending a lot of money on the new embassy inside the Green Zone. But how do you get to $8 billion a month without substantially increasing the number of troops or your overall footprint?
Well, they often cite increased security costs. You know, private security contractors, they've got some big, big dollar numbers there. All the support troops, remember, they're building non-permanent, permanent bases?
That's right.
And then, of course, we have all the sundries that they're trying to build equipment and get it back online and refurbish it, and they're not being very successful at it, but that's all going to come home to roost. Those chickens will come up, those budget chickens will come home to roost. And so that's why the CRS is at least being honest and saying, this is what it's going to cost.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Peter, at the same time they're spending all this money in Iraq and Afghanistan, the home base folks in the United States are 500 and, let's see, what are we? We're about $500 million short. And what's happening is that they're $530 million short of what it needs through October 1st at the 117 installations in the United States, Europe, and Asia. They're cutting back contractors, laying people off. They're in San Antonio, they haven't been able to pay their electric bill in a couple of months, and so the computer's already generating turnoff notices to the Army base, and the Army's gone back to the computer or to the electric company and said, you're not really going to turn these lights off, and they said, nah, but, you know, these fees are building, you really should pay your electric bill.
Holy. All I can keep saying is, holy cow. I mean, this is astounding, Scott, and we don't hear about this in the so-called mainstream media.
Well, they try to put, you know, they try to make these releases. I'm sure those, if you went to 150 or 300 different offices, you would find these press releases. And so the media is not good at tracking it down, and they don't care. You know, who cares if you have to close a swimming pool and the wives and spouses of and children of deployed soldiers in Iraq can't use the swimming pool, can't go to the soldiers that are stuck on the bases. They close the dining hall at Fort Knox, for example. They're laying off contract workers. They're not buying pens and paper. And you know, the Army runs on pens and paper. And see, the inside they have these, they give you, for example, a budget. You have $300 a year or $300 a month, depending on the level, to go and buy all those things you need to run basically an office, papers, pens, ink for your computers, printers, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
When that runs out, whether the store runs out or your card runs out and they don't put any more money in it, the only place you can get that, Peter, is out of your pocket. I pay for many things out of my pocket because it makes my life easier.
Yeah.
You can't deal with printer paper. Nobody in the higher echelon is going to say, oh, you don't have printer paper? Too bad. Or you say, well, we need that report. That's not the way it works.
Mm-hmm.
So really they're shifting a lot of these costs now over the backs of soldiers' families.
Well, they gave a 2% raise.
Which is 7% or 0.7% below inflation.
Right.
And at the same time, as Rome burns, Nero fiddles, I saw that Duncan Hunter, one of my favorite politicians, is really working hard to make sure in this time of war and crisis that severely disabled and paralyzed veterans can hunt big game on Santa Rosa Island.
That's important.
It's really important, and he's pressuring the Park Service, who wants those animals removed, and it's not a hunting place anyway.
Scott, I'm out of time here, but thank you for the sobering information you just brought to our attention. Have a great trip to Europe. We'll talk to you in August.
Thanks, Peter. You too.
Scott Dick on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hello, this is Al Moore with More Imported Cars in Monterey, where we feature quality pre-owned motor cars. It has been said that the world's best automobiles are manufactured within sight of the Alps. They include Mercedes-Benz, BMWs, and Porsches. These are the marks of dreams, and they're the manufacturers we specialize in. Some of our European autos start as low as $21,000 and experience very little depreciation. In fact, many of our Porsches actually increase in value, and our Porsches and other German autos have surprisingly good gas mileage too. Many of our autos are covered under manufacturer's warranty or are available with short or long-term service agreements. We also can arrange financing, and we do accept trades.
Drop by More Imported Cars, 999 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey, or browse to moreimports.com. That's M-O-H-R imports.com. Call Al Moore at 831-373-3131.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just-renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, Riley!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you can strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540. Down in Monterey.
Listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Drive carefully, will you? Well, the risk of dead man's curve might be one way to get you out of your gas-guzzling vehicle. And maybe personal rapid transit is a mode of transportation that might work for you. Ed Porter's a loyal listener to this program. I count him as one of the first who discovered us just about a year ago when we launched on the Central Coast in the Monterey area. He sits on the City Council in Santa Cruz and is a frequent contributor to the program. We've talked before, at least on one occasion, about the idea of personal rapid transit. Ed, welcome back to the show today. How you doing?
Thanks very much, Peter. I'm doing real well. I just enjoyed this drive up the coast. Some of God's country, I have to say, and it's really magnificent. So I'm ready to talk about PRT and how it can get us out of those cars, because we need to do that.
Well, and it's fine for you to enjoy in your personal passenger vehicle a ride along the coast on a beautiful day like this. But we have large numbers of people. My first guest today almost was late for the show because people are taking off for the holiday weekend early, and he got caught in a massive traffic jam. And that's not only inconvenient for him, but massive amounts of gasoline and other fuel were wasted in the cars that just sat there. And we have a lot of transit right-of-ways and rail right-of-ways, or rights-of-way is the appropriate use of that term, that could be converted to your idea, the concept you embrace, personal rapid transit. Give us a quick sketch of how this kind of a thing works.
Well, Peter, the personal rapid transit, you probably should think of it in a couple ways. One is like an elevator, because everybody's ridden in an elevator and know that it's really nice, especially when it's not busy. You just go from one floor to another nonstop. And that's what PRT does. Personal rapid transit goes from your origin to your destination nonstop. And it's safe and clean. It doesn't have intersections for collisions. It runs on electric-powered motors.
Mm-hmm.
And it's green and it's quiet. And it goes from wherever you get on to your destination without stopping, because it pulls off on little sidings to drop you off.
Mm-hmm.
But it's basically a very small monorail, not nearly as big as any of the ones you've seen, like the one that was up in Seattle, but rather something that's about 18 to 24 inches wide, and it's elevated on 10-inch poles, and it doesn't interfere with anything else, so it won't interfere with our existing traffic jams. It'll just glide right over them like a ski gondola or something.
Mm-hmm. But this would use vehicles or modular-type train units that would move along at intervals, or would there be a way that I could drive up and just hook my car up to this and it would move me, for example, from Santa Cruz to Monterey without having to clog up Highway 1?
Well, there's actually a design of that type of PRT. It's called dual mode. And I tend to not want to do that, because that would mean that we'd have to rely on your careful and fastidious maintenance of your car when you got onto the system. And maybe you and I would be fine, because we're so smart about that, but there would be somebody who didn't maintain their car too well, and, of course, it would stop.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole system would be bottled up. So we think that it's smarter to get people out of their cars and realize that you don't have to carry 2 or 3 or 4 thousand pounds of metal around with you all the time if you're in a safe, reliable system like this.
Well, very interesting. We've got a caller on the line. Let's talk to Ron first, and then we're going to be joined by Margaret Beagle. Ron in Santa Cruz, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Ed Porter.
Oh, hi there. Thank you very much for listening in here. Let me listen in. I was interested to understand how we can get this going in our community here in Santa Cruz. One of the big challenges is that we have energy issues facing us, and I was just curious if Ed could comment a little bit on how he thinks we can get this thing accomplished in the community here.
All right.
In other words, what does it take politically to get the folks to think about this?
Well, that's, I think, a great question, Ron, and it not just only applies to Santa Cruz, but to all modest-sized to small communities. First of all, we think that I've had phone calls from promoters of PRT who tell me that the very first segment of PRT that we build may very well be built at the cost of the developer, because they very much want to see that first segment in place to demonstrate to the world what a great technology this modern version of PRT is. But secondly, the the economics of PRT are so marvelous. The cost of construction is about one-fifth the cost of the construction of a highway lane per mile, maybe less. And the operation cost in terms of energy, if you use miles per gallon as a, some kind of a denominator, the PRT seems to get at least 400 miles per gallon. So it's the most efficient form of transportation we've seen. And as a result, it makes an attractive investment.
Mm-hmm. Ron, I appreciate that call. We're joined now by Margaret Beagle. And, Ed, go ahead and tell us about Margaret and her connection to PRT concepts.
Well, I've known Margaret indirectly for several years, and I very much appreciate her coming on the program. It's interesting because when I look at her email, she's not talking about PRT in her little business card that goes with all her emails. She's with the Institute for Global Citizenship, and I think that's an exciting connection, and I'll tell you why. I went to see Al Gore's Inconvenient Truth last night. It's perfect timing for this discussion.
Yes, indeed.
And we've got to realize that if we don't make changes fairly rapidly, it's going to be too late. Just in terms of our economy, we will not be able to continue building things if we allow the collapse of our economies. And that means there's a certain urgency to getting smarter about transportation. And I phoned Margaret this morning and told her I had that thought and I wanted to see what she would say to it. So welcome, Margaret. I'm really glad you can talk with us today.
Well, hi. Yeah, thanks for inviting me. Yeah, I work at McAllister College, which has several principles that it takes very seriously, those principles being internationalism, multiculturalism, and service. And they have just developed this new institute for global citizenship to encourage people to think in a more broad and deep way about connections, about how the local and global intersect. And actually, PRT has wonderful, you know, very positive global implications, mm-hmm. as opposed to our current traffic transportation situation. I can go into that a little bit if you'd like now, or if you...
Yeah, let's do it now, Margaret. We're ready. Go right ahead.
All right. Yeah. Well, when I was thinking about this, well, of course, the obvious, the biggest one, of course, is global warming. The evidence is pretty compelling, pretty conclusive, that global warming is here and it's coming on fast. I heard Will Steger just the other day and saw some photographs that he had of the Antarctic, and it's really very frightening what is happening. There are other major worldwide consequences of our car culture that PRT would remedy. For example, it requires paving. The current transportation systems require paving over everything, mm-hmm. so that you have all kinds of parking lots and highways and so forth, creating heat islands and problems with runoff. There are toxic chemical residues from cars and their additives, you know, including, well, oil and diesel and, well, and of course, air pollution.
Well, and all those tires.
Oh, yeah, yeah. there are, again, fairly obvious problems about our access to oil and its availability and, of course, the cost of gas these days.
Mm-hmm.
Another global consequence are oil slicks, for example, that are just environmental disasters. And
well,
that's
and now
inevitable.
That
you know,
visionary
like
Republican Congressman Richard Pombo is trying to make it possible to drill off the coast again.
Oh, yeah.
He jammed through some legislation yesterday that I find deeply offensive, and it is aimed at trying to reopen. It may not happen on California's coastline immediately, but that's the aim of his legislation. So go ahead, Margaret.
Oh, yeah. Well, and of course, there's ANWR. Mm-hmm. And thinking you can even bring up the talk about the toxic sludge that was left by Hurricane Katrina,
mm-hmm.
plowing through all of those oil rigs and
right.
so forth. And you know, you think of all of the global warming that could be avoided if, say, China and India, instead of, you know, getting on board to the gasoline culture,
mm-hmm.
would use PRT instead.
Yeah. Well, and in China, of course, they use bicycles a lot, but that is declining as they become more industrialized and mm-hmm. as people's commutes are longer distances. So,
yeah.
Margaret, I think you make a good case there. What do you think is necessary before government agencies, and we see, you know, some great forward thinking from Ed Porter here, but it takes a critical mass of people to embrace these kinds of concepts and decide that they are worth testing. So in your view, what do we need to do as next steps to pave the way for PRT, Personal Rapid Transit?
Mm-hmm. Well, I am a member of Citizens for Personal Rapid Transit, and our goal is to educate people that there are alternative concepts out there, you know, that we don't have to just keep recycling the same old, you know, transportation solutions that we've had for years and years.
Mm-hmm.
There are some basically revolutionary new concepts like personal rapid transit. One thing I wanted to mention too, in addition to environmental reasons, another very compelling reason for me to be involved is safety. The carnage on our highways, there's no need for it. It's just insane, and people just accept it as part of life.
Right.
But with PRT, the safety factor would be, you know, incredibly enhanced.
Mm-hmm. And
PRT was designed, the first criteria was to make a safe system.
And, Peter, I want to say that there's another safety factor involved with PRT. I know here in Santa Cruz, I've had women approach me and say, well, you know, I don't go on public transit because I don't feel safe, and I have to get off at these stops, and, you know, I'm not safe when I'm waiting for the bus. I'm not safe when I get off, and I'm scared to sit on the bus. But PRT is attractive because it has some of the features we like most about the personal automobile, and that is you open it yourself with your card key, you get in, and if you want to ride by yourself or with your friend or family members, that's fine, and that's a choice that you make. And you designate your destination, and that's where it goes without stopping. And so women and children and seniors all can feel much safer in a vehicle like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very interesting. Margaret, we got to head to a break. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Our Citizens for PRT does have a website.
Oh, good. I was going to ask.
It's www.cprt.org. And we also mention plenty of other websites, operations around the world that are developing PRT systems.
Mm-hmm. So people can link to them from cprt.org?
Right.
Great. Okay. Margaret, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thank you.
Margaret Beagle from McAllister College, and we'll continue in a moment with Ed Porter from the Santa Cruz City Council, and we're going to be joined by Steve Rainey, who will add more to this discussion about personal rapid transit. Let's get you out of those cars. 47 minutes past the hour, you're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
Media shapes our children's values, desires, and knowledge of the world. I'm Nurse Rona. Join my guests from ShapingYouth.com and Common Sense Media as they discuss the ways children's bodies and minds are affected by the messages they get from the media in our society.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
Hi, Dan Brown, President of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com. Our corporate transportation program offers competitive rates, we answer the phone 24/7, and you get a real person. And we have the best professional chauffeurs. We cover all the airports, including San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland, and Monterey. We can help plan your company's VIP meeting or employee outing to the ballgame. Let us take the worry and hassle out of your transportation or event. 625-5363 or MontereyLimos.com.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic. We're running a little behind. I hope it doesn't complicate things. Here she is, Amy Knight.
Felton Empire Road at Felton Empire Grade, a broken down truck in the middle of the roadway. Southbound 9 at Teal, an accident reported there. And Highway 152 at 156, still heavy because of the Friday afternoon commute. The Volkswagen Passat, lowest eco emissions of any German-engineered sedan. Stop by your local San Francisco area Volkswagen dealer today and take a joyride. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Amy. We'll check back with you in about a half an hour. And Casey's got your traffic every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m. on The Stephanie Miller Show, right here on KRXA 540. You can hum along with this part or just sing to yourself if you like.
My pappy said, son, you're going to drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod Lincoln.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Alternatives to automobiles, that's what we're exploring.
Have you heard the story of the hot rod race with the Fords and the Lincolns was setting the pace? That story is true. I'm here to say I was driving that Model A.
All right. Thank you, Commander Cody. Behind the wheel this half hour, Ed Porter's joining us from the Santa Cruz City Council, a proponent of Personal Rapid Transit, or PRT. And we're joined now by Steve Rainey. And, Steve, I understand you've been involved in the development of electric vehicles, electric bicycles, that sort of thing.
Hello, Peter. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go right ahead, Steve.
More in the research and the applications of them.
I see.
Not the direct research. There's four worldwide R&D efforts going on right now, one in London, one in Korea, one in Sweden, and one in Dubai. So getting back to your point about what would it take to bring this to Santa Cruz,
mm-hmm.
Well, once one of these systems is up and running, then I think it's going to be a relatively simple proposition to get a blue ribbon delegation from Santa Cruz to head on over and take a ride. And, you know, when people can, in a position of power, can take a ride on it, and see it, touch it, breathe it, and experience it, I think they'll be sold on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other thing that I think we dream of happening is, you know, getting some kind of a Northern California design competition going where, you know, there's all this engineering talent in Northern California. And, you know, we see things like the DARPA Grand Robotic Challenge has robotic vehicles zooming across the desert in a
right.
big competition.
Yeah, that's
and
cool.
Wouldn't it be great if we actually did that for personal rapid transit, you know, which is kind of a different application, but would also help secure, make us a little bit more safe from global defense threats that we face.
I think Google should fund that, and nobody asked me, but...
I think so too, Peter.
Either that or Steve Buffett and Bill Gates.
Yeah, I think the Gates Foundation would be a perfect place to look for funding here.
Because we do need to teach people about this.
Yeah. Now, Steve, some people believe that there's been a kind of a conspiracy by the gas-guzzling car manufacturers in Detroit to block the development of alternatives, including electric cars. And Ford has announced that it's not abandoning its hybrids, and I love the Escape. I think they did a good job with that. But they're moving to more mixed-fuel vehicles that can run on ethanol and gasoline, that sort of thing. Ford did have a commitment to electric vehicles. There was a smart car and a bicycle that they were manufacturing in Korea just a few years ago. I got to test ride the bicycle, and I was really impressed. If they just could extend the battery life, it had a lot of promise. But is there, in your view, a conspiracy or at least a business block from the big automakers toward the development of these alternatives?
Well, it's disappointing to see them, you know, not seeing the writing on the wall that there's the end of the internal combustion economy coming and not doing something, you know, exploring more alternatives to be economically robust 10 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
I think we would expect to see, you know, right now, smaller companies being more innovative and you know, just expect GM to continue along being, you know, the technical laggard and the product laggard it is. I mean, it's such a disappointing company right now, and
yeah,
the product mix is just, you know, embarrassing.
Yeah, and they wonder why they're in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. Ford's electric car effort, they had a whole plan, and it was very exciting, and they were going to do a lot with it, and really they were thinking of understanding the communities where they were going to go into, and
mm-hmm,
unfortunately it died. But I think that was a very progressive, forward-thinking thing, you know, and maybe it's something that they could give CPR to, you know, as gas prices go up and economic reality sets in.
Yeah. Guys, hold on here. We're going to try to add one more call to the party line. It's Dennis in Fresno. Dennis, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Ed Porter and Steve Rainey.
Hi, Dennis.
Glad to be here.
All right, Dennis, what's on your mind?
Well,
can we get you out of your car? Can we pry your fingers from that steering wheel?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can.
And you guys are going to do PRT in Fresno, am I correct?
Yes, that would be great. We would like to do it here, too. What I'd like to comment on is the fact that we haven't had any changes in basic trolleys or light rail systems for, 80 years. And one of the reasons, I think, is because there's a lack of research and development at the state and federal levels, which is sort of ridiculous when you think about it, because any progressive corporation or anything spends substantial amounts of money on the research and development.
Right.
And so I wondered if either Ed or Steve could comment on what it is that they think has caused this lack of R&D at the federal and state level.
Let's start with Ed.
Well, Dennis, I have a couple opinions about that, but one of them is what I call the last squeeze of butter phenomenon, and that is our federal government is just married to the industry of the automobile, of the tire industry, of the petroleum industry, and they know full well that it has a limited lifetime, but like you and me in our kitchen, when we've got, you know, a quarter pound of butter, we want to get that last teaspoon of it into use before we think about what to do next, and the oil companies and the automobile companies want to take it to the bitter end before they are willing to accept a slowdown in their industry and a change to something else. They basically function on a quarterly income report, and that's what drives them. They don't look ahead 2 years or 5 years or 10 years. They're aware of it, but they don't care.
Mm-hmm. And Steve, your comment?
Well, it's interesting to contrast with in Europe, where the European Union's Research Directorate has made PRT part of their strategic plan in achieving environmental sustainability. You know, we don't necessarily have that much of an environmental sustainability plan here in the States, and it's just interesting to contrast. You know, 10, 15 years ago, there used to be sort of that U.S. basic R&D into new technologies, and now we're not really that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Dennis, thanks a lot for your question. We're running out of time here. And let me just get a final comment from Ed Porter and Steve Rainey. What are the next steps? And if people go to Citizens for PRT, which is cprt.org, what steps do you want them to take? Ed?
Well, I'd certainly like them to take a look at that page. And if anybody wants that page of links that I sent you, Peter, I'll be glad to take their emails.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll send them all those links that I sent you, including there's an excellent video there. I don't know if you got a chance to see that or not.
So I did. Very impressive, yeah.
If they want to drop me an email at eporter95@aol.com, I'll send that same email to anybody who drops me an email.
All right, Steve, I don't have more time to ask you for another comment, but thank you for joining us today, and I look forward to taking a ride on a PRT system as soon as it's available. That's Steve Rainey with Ed Porter from the Santa Cruz City Council. I'm Peter B. Collins. Thanks for listening. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. As many as five American soldiers are suspected of participating in a terrible crime in Iraq. Allegedly, an Iraqi woman was raped on March 12th. Then the soldiers killed the woman, and three family members burned their bodies to destroy the evidence. CBS News correspondent David Martin reports the charges came to light this month when two soldiers from the same unit were abducted and killed by Iraqi insurgents.
After the bodies of Menchaca and Tucker were recovered, other members of Bravo Company were offered post-traumatic stress counseling. During one of those sessions on June 23rd, a soldier said he had heard about the rape and murders back in March. Investigators quickly found other soldiers who had heard the same story, and the next day, Major General James Thurman, the overall commander for the Baghdad region, ordered a full-scale criminal investigation.
According to the Associated Press, one of the soldiers has confessed and is under arrest. Israeli forces are keeping the pressure on in their search for a captured soldier, but Palestinian militants have issued new demands. In addition to the release of Palestinian women and children from Israeli prisons, they want 1,000 other prisoners freed. The statement does not promise the release of Corporal Gilad Shalit in return. Despite the dissenting views of some engineers, NASA will try to resume the space shuttle program tomorrow afternoon, but CBS News correspondent Bob Orr reports the weather at Cape Canaveral is not promising.
With storms expected, forecasters say there's only a 40% chance the shuttle will lift off tomorrow, and the outlook is no better through Monday. But weather is not NASA's only worry. Whenever it flies, Discovery will be the only shuttle ever launched with a system officially classified as an unacceptable risk. The danger comes from insulating foam on the shuttle's external fuel tank and the possibility that pieces may break off from brackets during launch, puncturing the shuttle's heat shield, which has to be intact for a safe reentry at the end of the mission.
Little did Elvis know when he recorded that song that he was making an impression on a young man who would become the Japanese Prime Minister. Junichiro Koizumi made a pilgrimage to Graceland today, accompanied by the President of the United States.
I'm Peter Mayer in Memphis.
Unusual.
That's how President Bush sums up this rock and roll summit. The folks at Graceland will long remember the surreal scene. The Prime Minister of Japan, an Elvis fanatic, serenading the President, the First Lady, and Priscilla and Lisa Marie Presley.
Wise man.
At the end of the day, Koizumi calls his visit to the Presley Mansion a dream come true. Peter Mayer, CBS News at Graceland in Memphis.
Chrysler has jumped on the sales incentive bandwagon, bringing back employee discount pricing. GM recently announced 6-year 0% financing. Today on Wall Street, the Dow dropped 40 points to finish the week at 11,150. The NASDAQ lost 2 points. This is CBS News.
You trust your car to take you places this summer. So who do you trust to take care of your car? Sears Auto Centers. Full-service car care, bumper to bumper. From diehard batteries to all the top tire brands, even on Sundays. All backed with a national guarantee of satisfaction. And right now it's our biggest Michelin tire sale of the year, with Michelin tires at the lowest prices of the season. You're going places this summer. Make sure your car is going to the place that protects it best. Sears Auto Centers. See store for guarantee details. Exclusions apply. See LN 7806.
Hey, if you can't beat the heat, join it.
Get your hands on all kinds of scorching hot deals this Friday, 6 p.m. to midnight, at CompUSA's Midnight Madness. I'm talking smoking hourly specials, plus the hottest prices on all the coolest technology. HD TVs, monitors, and laptops starting at a sizzling $399. It's Midnight Madness, this Friday, 6 p.m. to midnight at CompUSA. We got it, we get it. Offer after rebate, see store for details.
A Toyota, an all-American car? By some measures, yes. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato explains.
4th of July weekend, time to celebrate everything American. Cars.com's new list of top 10 popular patriotic vehicles is headed by Ford F-Series trucks, the Chevy Silverado, and what's this? Toyota Camry?
We knew the Camry was popular, but we were surprised by how high up on the list it landed.
It's eligible for the list because it's U.S.-built with at least 75% American parts.
Toyota and Honda both have been building more plants in the U.S. GM and Ford are building plants in Canada and Mexico. The alliance of what's American-made is becoming muddier as we go along.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
This is what's meant by adding insult to injury. Authorities in southern Ohio say thieves feeding their drug habits have been stealing the bronze plaques from the graves of people who served in the military. In one case, a plaque was taken from the gravestone of Danny Yelly, killed in Vietnam. Underneath was an old inscription for a man who died in 1937. Yelly's family had been sold a used stone. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Net Zero, America's number one value-priced internet service, is only $9.95 a month, and there's no commitment and no credit card required. Signing up for Net Zero is so simple, you'll be online in minutes. Plus, Net Zero gives you powerful virus protection, and your service is backed by a connection guarantee. Join the millions of people who have switched to the internet service that ranks higher than AOL in customer satisfaction. Call 1-800-NET-ZERO or go to netzero.com.
Dad, this is my boyfriend, Scott.
So, where are you from, Scott?
Seattle.
Any brothers, sisters?
One brother.
How's your driving record?
Good.
Ever been arrested?
Huh?
Serving the military?
Sir?
Do you have any diseases?
Dad!
What if everything in life came with a 115-point inspection? Well, before we certify any Ford Lincoln Mercury pre-owned vehicle, it must first pass a rigorous point-by-point exam. Plus, all Ford Lincoln Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles come with a 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty, including 24-hour roadside assistance.
Any sports injuries?
No.
See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. We're ready for this long holiday weekend. You'll hear the best of Peter B. Monday and Tuesday. We'll be back live with you on Wednesday.
I've been watching you for days now, baby. I just love your sexy ways now, baby. You know my love will never stop now, baby. Just put your love in my box now, baby.
Wrap it up. And I want to dedicate this song to the hardworking chair of the California Assembly's Budget Committee. John Laird, the Democrat from Santa Cruz, joins us now. And wrap it up. That's what they did with the budget this year. Actually delivered and signed on time. Hello, John.
Hey, good afternoon, Peter.
How does it feel to have that behind you?
Oh, I'm kind of amazed. It's kind of numbing. You know, the legislature traditionally gets a summer break, and we've never take it, and it's actually going to happen this year because of the budget, and everybody was thanking me as much for the great public policy in the budget as they were for the fact that there'd be a real break.
And how long is your break now?
It'll be a month.
Uh-huh.
We'll come back in the first week of August.
Uh-huh. And
but the budget was great. I mean, in the last, this is my fourth, the second one is chair of the committee, and I usually have to explain why we only amputated an arm and saved a leg. And this time, I think we affirmatively moved forward in a number of different arenas. And so I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah. And just on a personal note, do you get a vacation? Are you going to take a break?
In a few weeks, I'm going to go to the Canadian Rockies for about 10 days. And I'm really looking forward to it. And I booked it way into July thinking the budget could deadlock and,
mm-hmm.
you know, played it conservative.
Yeah? Is that the only kind of conservatism that you play?
sometime we'll play poker and we'll see.
Well, what are you proudest of that you were able to keep, protect, or enhance in the budget this year?
a number of things. I mean, in particular, the education budget was great. We rolled back community college fees by $6 a unit. We held back the increase for UC and CSU and restored the outreach and protected the labor center. But with regard to the K-12 education, we really did a lot for schools that are challenged and students that are challenged and students that are having trouble with the exit exam and sort of where it's just been hemorrhaging for a number of years through K-12 education. We added over $5 billion, made good the deal the governor walked away from, and actually targeted significant amounts of it to students that are achieving and underachieving and gave local control with a significant amount of the money. It was a great thing for education.
And, John, in terms of higher education, the UC system, the CSU state system, and community colleges, where are we in, you know, in the timeline? Because there have been a number of increases in fees and tuition over the last 3 years. Does this budget simply hold the status quo? Does it roll back any of those fees? Where does that stand?
With regard to community colleges, it actually rolls them back. I mean, there was a dramatic increase, and this takes it about half of the way back down, and dramatic increase over 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. With UCs and CSUs, they were scheduled to each increase by 8%, and this caught out to 8%, but holds them at a status quo. Mm-hmm. And it still leaves the big issue that I think you're alluding to, that, you know, it's very hard to graduate if you're of a middle-class family without significant debt and without not being able to start off in your career with a chance to even think of entering the housing market or think of doing things for yourself because mm-hmm. you've got a big amount of debt over your head.
What I'm actually driving at is Phil Angelides' position, because mm-hmm. I supported him over the past year when he called for tax increases on the wealthiest Californians, and I'll point out it's simply to readjust the tax to the level it was in the late 1990s, that his proposal is now the subject of all these negative spots that Schwarzenegger is running, citing Steve Wesley as the source of these attacks. So it's nefarious in some respects. But my central question is, do you believe that we still need additional revenues in order to roll back the increases of the last 3 years at CSU and UC system? Or should Phil Angelides revisit that, particularly because it's become a political target?
Well, there's two pieces to that issue, and one is that the budget, which was $38 billion out of whack when I was sworn in almost 4 years ago for the first time, is still $3 billion out of whack. If we don't have revenue growth into next year's budget, we will have to make cuts. And at the same time, the fees have gone up so dramatically at UC and CSU that if we were to roll them back to where they were before the dot-com boom, we're talking about $500, $600, $700, $800 million. And if you put the rolling back of fees together with the amount of that the budget structurally unbalanced, even the increase he's talking about in the upper income bracket is questionable about whether or not it would fully close that gap. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think he's so off base. It's just that, as we do every year when the budget isn't totally structurally balanced, and it's the closest it's been in 5 or 6 years this year, we leave the issue till next year, and the election will come in November before it's readily apparent. And if it turns out that the economy just slightly drops and we head to next year, we're going to be out of whack by chunk, and revenue is going to be the real issue unless we want to throw people out of wheelchairs and take back Social Security money and, you know, actually cut K-12 education and dramatically increase fees. So,
but because that's not looming right now in terms of this November's election, what's your advice to Phil Angelides? Should he revisit that issue, or should he hold his ground?
I think he's probably got a way to have it both ways, which is is to say he's pledged to do this, and if the economy continues to grow, he can do it within the resources we have. But if not, here's the alternative, and he's been clear about it beforehand. And actually, the upper income bracket tax polls positively. If he sticks to that and speaks to the need to it, he's not out of whack with Californians. I think Steve Wesley took a cheap shot at him on all these other taxes he theoretically would raise, which I don't believe he's really gotten out there on. Mm-hmm. And that's what Schwarzenegger is also picking up, including in these ads, and all he has to do is attribute it to Steve Wesley rather than decide it factually in any way.
Yeah.
We're
talking with John Laird, Democratic Assemblyman from Santa Cruz, here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Now, as an openly gay man, I wanted to get your remarks on Governor Schwarzenegger's appeal to the Log Cabin Republican Club in Hollywood last night. He sidestepped the issue of same-sex marriage in his veto of Mark Leno's bill. But he appears to have some support from at least some gay Republicans. Do you think that this is a strong connection or just a matter of convenience?
Oh, I think it's somewhere in the middle, which is interesting because he truly has signed many of the bills that have been put on his desk. He signed my two civil rights acts each of the last 2 years, but he's vetoed the strongest ones. Both he's pledged to veto Sheila Kuehl's bill on curriculum this year, as well as vetoing the marriage bill. And I think the Log Republicans, I always give them credit if they really stick to their guns and deal with the whole issue of gay rights. But if it's people that are gay that happen to be fiscal conservatives that are really just trying to prop up somebody that's conservative without really sort of holding their feet to the fire on civil rights, then they don't get it at all from me. And I think it's all right in the middle. I give him credit for the fact that I don't think everybody fully understands what it's like to be in the Republican Party these days as it's reflected in Sacramento. There's now been one person that has cast a vote for a gay rights bill that's a Republican since I've been in the legislature on one bill.
Wow.
And they just do not do it. And they attacked the governor for hiring a chief of staff that was an open lesbian. And it really is separating himself from the party to do it. But at the same time, he's not fully there on what the Senate civil rights issue is at the time. And so it's somewhere in the middle, and it's part of the triangulation that's going on in the election. Phil Angelides has pledged a marriage bill, would clearly sign Sheila Kuehl's bill. And there's just no ambiguity whatsoever.
John, just one final question. In the Chronicle's account of this log cabin dinner, they got some remarks from your colleague, Mark Leno, who's carried the same-sex marriage bill. And while it's not a direct quotation, the reporter wrote, I was attributing a quote to Leno that was actually made by Jeff Basiri, and I just discovered that. So never mind. Because Basiri said he believes same-sex marriage and the governor's reelection are inevitable. But the way it was written, it seemed to be attributed to Leno, and I couldn't imagine that he would say the governor's reelection is inevitable. He didn't, so never mind.
Good. Yeah, that would truly shock me.
Indeed. Well, thanks for your work. I'm glad you're going to get some time off later this month, and congratulations to you with an on-time budget this year.
Thanks, Peter, and I'll talk to you soon.
That's John Laird, Assemblyman from Santa Cruz, Chair of the Budget Committee. Coming up next, Brad Friedman joins us, fresh from his appearance on The Lou Dobbs Show, fresh from two town hall meetings in Southern California. We're going to talk voter integrity next, here on The Peter B. Collins Show. Wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth.
Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic. 521 now on this Friday evening. Our second last report from Amy Knight.
I know. In Morgan Hill, South 101 before Cochran Road, an accident on the shoulder and heavy traffic as you approach that crash. It begins at Coyote Creek Golf Drive. Highway 1 at Malera and Castroville, an accident reported there. And South 17 before Camden Avenue, there's wood paneling in the third lane from the left. Also in the Pacheco Pass, Highway 152 at Dinosaur Point, watch out for a grass fire burning near the roadway. This report brought to you by Mattress Discounters. Every Simmons Beauty Rest and Sealy Posturepedic mattress set is on sale, plus you'll sleep free for up to 12 months on approved credit. Mattress Discounters, have a good night's sleep for less. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
And Amy's not leaving the area. She's just being promoted and won't be assigned to our show anymore.
Yeah, I may come and fill in from time to time.
All right, great. We'll talk to you in half an hour.
Thanks.
Thank God it's Friday!
Yeah!
The story is true. Dragnet.
You got a lot of repressed feelings about D-Bowl, don't you, Brad?
No.
Brad Friedman joins us, the proprietor of bradblog.com. Good to talk to you today, Brad. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well. A little exhausted, but I'm doing hanging in there.
You have had quite a week. We talked to you a couple of times along the way, and you were putting together these town hall meetings in Los Angeles and Oceanside Tuesday and Wednesday. We want to get the lowdown on those. And I've seen the clip from your appearance on Lou Dobbs last night. People can find it at bradblog.com. But not only are you doing good work, but you should be gratified that the work you're doing is getting appropriate attention, or at least some.
Yeah, starting to. It's beginning to get some attention, and I certainly am gratified for that. Not yet as much of the attention, frankly, that I believe you still feel that it deserves, given the really impending crisis that we're headed towards
yes.
this November and
yes,
beyond.
Indeed. Well, let's start with the town hall meetings. You put these together and got some support from various media outlets. Was the turnout good, and were you satisfied with the reaction of those who attended?
Oh, well, yeah. The turnout was good. Of course, I wouldn't be satisfied unless we had, you know, millions of people there and a velvet revolution underway today. But short of that, the turnout was great. The reaction was very, very positive. Really helped, I think, make the stakes here and what this is all about quite clear to a whole bunch of people. And hopefully we've got a fresh new army of citizen patriots out there taking that information and spreading the word and doing something with it and connecting with each other and with me as we move forward in this thing. Figure out what the options are, both in the court of law and the court of public opinion as we move forward. And it's, I tell you, it is very, very difficult because, as you probably know, bloggers like me and the election reform movement as a whole is not real well funded. We don't have the access to the $3.8 billion that the guys at Diebold do.
Mm-hmm.
So herding the cats, so to speak, to bring things together to figure out what we can afford, what we can do, and what is the best way to make clear that what happened here in this Busbee-Bilbray race must never happen again in an election. Whether we'll be successful at that, whether we'll be able to get the word out, and there are various ways that we are still in the process of putting together to hopefully do that, still remains to be seen. But, you know, all I can do is bang every drum that folks will allow me to bang or that I can figure out how to bang, and that's what I'm doing. And I do think it has having a very good effect. I'm beginning to hear from more and more media folks. I heard from someone at the Sacramento Bee today. The San Diego Tribune ran a horrible article yesterday. It is so irresponsible.
Mm-hmm.
And it's remarkable to me, Peter. You know, I'm sure you've heard what the various folks in the mainstream media and so forth, you know, think about bloggers and they report rumors, they don't back up their facts. It is never fails to astound me how irresponsible the mainstream media is and the sorts of things that they report. That they just, you know, if you spent 1 minute's time, you could find out that guys like Michael Haas, the registrar down there, registrar of voters in San Diego, who sent machines home with poll workers, the world's most hackable machines, home with poll workers for days and weeks prior to the election, is just giving this reporter nonsense, and he didn't bother apparently to take, you know, even 30 seconds to go out there and figure it out. Just basically passed on whatever these crooks and liars will tell them. That's mm-hmm. not reporting. That's repeating.
Now, let's talk a little bit. I'm looking at your blog right now, and
yeah.
John Morelius of the Union Tribune in San Diego, which is an ultra-conservative paper,
mm-hmm.
Wrote a story, I guess, about the town hall meeting. And in it, you point out that he quoted Michael Haas, the registrar of voters, five different paragraphs, and Michael Haas wasn't even there at the event.
Let me also add, John Morelius wasn't at the event.
Oh, so he covered it remotely.
Yeah. Yeah, uh-huh. Remotely is an overstatement. He wasn't there. He talked to nobody who was there. The closest thing he did, he quoted from a statement that was included in a press release by the California Election Protection Network when they declared no confidence in the race. He quoted from that press release, but that was it. Everyone else he spoke to, which was Michael Haas and then Kim Alexander of the California Voters Network, I believe, who has actually been working quite hard for election reform, but clearly did not understand what she was being asked about here, I'm afraid.
Mm-hmm.
The reporter never bothered to call me. He never bothered to talk to anyone who was there and completely misrepresented what the heck is going on here, even misrepresented what California Election Protection Network is asking for. They haven't asked for a recount because their contention is The ballots have not been counted in the first place, so you can't count, you can't recount what you haven't counted in the first place.
Right.
It's just a horrible report, not even close to what's actually going on here on the ground. And all I can hope is that folks at the Sacramento Bee perhaps may do better. I'm certainly doing better. You can get the straight story, as you know, at my site. And by the way, I should also mention Jim Lampley. You know Jim from...
He's been sitting in, I think, for Ed Schultz.
We've got to
take a break, and we'll pick up there as we resume with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Palacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey has everything you need, from high-end liquor to the very best in fine wines. It's the real deal. Family-owned for over 40 years, John will give you one-on-one personal attention, just like family. Have a special request? Not a problem. Open every day from 9 to 9. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is located on Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village, near the Del Monte Center. Look for Doug Huckleberry, who greets you at the door. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits wants you to please drink responsibly.
Concern about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
We'll be right back. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. Where we favor power cords and progressive politics. Brad Friedman with us for the rest of this hour. If you have a question or a comment, you can join us. Central Coast, lines open, 831-899-5792. Or you can call us toll-free, 888-579-2540. And bradblog.com has a lot of great items on it, so do drop in there next time you're online and check things out. Brad, I had to interrupt you because we can't stop the commercials when they're coming on.
I know.
And you were going to tell us about Jim Lampley, the former ABC sportscaster, who turns out to be a pretty progressive guy. I've heard him subbing on the Ed Schultz Show.
Yeah, he does. And actually, he's now the NBC Olympics daytime host and HBO boxing guy. He came out, it was about a year and a half ago, with an article over at Huffington Post, which said the headline, I believe, was the election 2004 was the greatest crime in the history of this country. I just wanted to mention that he came out to our town hall meeting in San Diego, on Wednesday night, and it was great to finally meet him. He and I have spoken before and emailed, and it was great to have him out there, and in fact, I did speak with him earlier today on the Ed Schultz Show about this Busby Bilbray thing, and he has been out there banging the drum and letting people know that there is absolutely no evidence, no proof, in fact, that Brian Bilbray beat Francine Busby, and he was there to support and help make this citizen army even louder.
And did Roger Hedgecock, the former mayor of San Diego and now a conservative talk show host who has acknowledged the strength of your position, did he show up?
He did not show up. We did invite him to come, and he did not show up. However, he was there in a certain spirit because I played a clip from the Roger Hedgecock show and what when I was on there and what he had to say about all of this, and that he is in fact on board with what we're doing, because you know a lot of folks like to paint this movement as a lefty sour grape sort of thing, which you really can't do when you got a guy like Roger Hedgecock on board, who is just to the right of Attila the Hun in many ways, and guys like Lou Dobbs who are now on board. So I wanted to play that and some Lou Dobbs stuff so that folks could understand this is not a partisan issue. So it was very, very successful in that regard, and we are going to be continuing to move forward. And it's been very interesting. The folks who have been contacting me, who are troubled about this, who are concerned, and the timing, we're sort of in a perfect storm here, I think, because, two or three days ago now, I lose track of time, the Brennan Center for Justice at NYU came out with a landmark report on the threats associated with electronic voting, more than 120 security threats that they looked at, a team of computer scientists and security experts, more than a year in the making. And it, frankly, underscores exactly what I have been talking about in this Busby-Bilbray race.
And Brad, it's interesting because I keep talking to people about this, and when I raise the question, they say, really? There were problems? There were security breaches?
Mm-hmm.
And there still is a lot of, I guess, convincing and persuading that needs to occur. But recap for us here just briefly for the benefit of people who may be hearing this for the first time about the security breaches and the other issues that you've raised that cause you to declare no confidence in the special election that Brian Bilbray claims he won, and election officials support that contention.
Right. Well, the meat and potatoes of the case here is that in just the past two or three months, some extraordinary vulnerabilities have been discovered in these Diebold voting machines that were used in the San Diego race. When those vulnerabilities were discovered, both the California state and the federal body put in emergency security mitigation procedures that had to be followed in order to attempt to protect against this extraordinary threat. In some cases, these machines can be hacked in 2 minutes or less, no password necessary, and no one would ever know. So they put in these very serious procedures, And then when Michael Haas down there in San Diego went about doing what they've been doing for years, which is, you know, sending these voting machines home with poll workers, it didn't used to matter when they did that. It does now. But when he did that this time, that effectively decertified the systems according to these new security mitigation procedures, which were put in place for a very good reason. What we end up with then is a race in California that was run on essentially 100% decertified voting systems that you can have no confidence in. And remember, on that same day, it was mostly optical scan machines down there where you fill out a paper ballot and run it through a scanner
right.
made by Diebold. On that very same day, June 6th, up in Iowa, we had at least two different races where the very popular incumbent candidate had lost their race after the ballots were optically scanned, only to find out that they actually won the race when the election director up there, a responsible one, thought something wasn't right here. Let's manually count these ballots, and they discovered, lo and behold, the guy who they thought had lost had actually won. So with everything we now know about these systems and the fact that they were sent home with poll workers for a week, 2 weeks at a time, you have to presume they're as contaminated as you would if you took a blood sample from a crime scene and sent it home with a worker to keep in his car or garage for a week before bringing it into the crime lab. That's what happened here, and by the San Diego County Registrar voter Michael Haas's own admission, storage in people's cars is not what he had in mind, not what the feds had in mind when they said that these machines, once programmed, must be stored securely. Look,
but that Michael Haas is still in denial, and he basically thinks that you're off base for raising these security issues because he has trust in all of his election workers. No one would attempt to compromise these systems, manipulate votes, or manipulate the tallies in the optical scanners.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's what he told me when I asked him, well, isn't it possible that someone could do, and then I described, the various exploits that could be done to tamper with these machines by anyone who had 2 minutes of access to them. He said, well, then someone would have to be willing to commit a felony, and that knocks out most of our poll workers in San Diego.
Yeah.
Most.
Yeah.
Only most. But he was also at least claimed to be unaware of any other election officials or poll workers who had ever been indicted for such a felony in this country. I mean,
and therefore, there's no problem.
That's right. Everything is fine. And in fact, he told the San Diego Tribune that guys like me and I guess the dozens of folks, computer scientists and security experts who studied it for the Brennan Center, I guess we're just paranoid because that's what he said. We suffer from paranoia. And this landmark report, we've got it linked up at Brad Blog, looked at more than 120 threats to the machines made by the three major voting machine companies.
Mm-hmm.
It's been huge, and that report was picked up really by everyone. USA Today had it on their front page the day it came out. Lou Dobbs has covered it now for two or three nights in a row. He seems to be most troubled with the fact that this can all be done wirelessly. That
right.
You can walk in with a Palm Pilot and essentially insert a virus potentially into the voting machine.
Yeah,
hello.
I want to come back to that point because I think Dobbs really zeroed in on that. Steve's on the line from Salinas. Hello, Steve. You're on the air on the Peter B. Show with Brad Friedman.
Oh, thank you. I called Barbara Boxer's office this afternoon and pretty much begged her to introduce legislation to have hand-counted paper ballots for the November election. Is there any kind of a possibility of that happening if all the Democrats got together and decided they had to have it? Might there be enough Republicans who would go for it? And is it possible?
Well, Brad?
Well, that's an interesting question, whether it's possible. I mean, she has had, I think her and Hillary had a bill they sponsored together. I know Rush Holt over in the House has had a bill, not specifically for hand-counted paper ballots, but for some real election reform. And it has been completely ignored by the Republican majority. And unfortunately, it's up to the Republican majorities in both houses essentially to determine what will, you know, come up for a vote and what won't. The one over in the House has more than 160 co-sponsors, several Republicans amongst them, but they can't even bring it up for a hearing in a committee.
If all the Democrats got on board, every single one, then they need, what, 15 Republicans from the House and 5 in the Senate, and it could be done.
Well, it would certainly make a statement, particularly if that happened in the Senate. But I'm afraid, as Professor Mark Crystal Miller said today, actually, on the Ed Schultz Show, that the Democrats are really in denial about
that. Yeah, I don't want to get into that. That's the most frustrating part.
It is, Steve, yeah. Hey, Steve, the person I would suggest that you direct your attention to is Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky of Evanston, Illinois, Chicago suburb. She does understand this. She is trying, I believe, to educate her colleagues on the significance of the issues. So that would be a place where you could get a better reception.
Okay. Thanks a whole bunch.
Okay, Stephen, thanks for caring. Thanks for calling the show today. Brad, we're going to take a break, and when we return, I want to talk more about your appearance on Lou Dobbs. I want to know about your wardrobe selection there. Was it designed to present the same accent colors that you give us at bradblog.com? But more importantly, I want to talk to you about the thrust of his report, because he did zero in on this wireless port that you had reported to us well over 6-7 months ago.
Yeah.
That appears on some of these Diebold touchscreen machines and apparently on the tabulators, too. So we'll talk about that as we continue. If you have a question or comment for his Bradness, join us now, 831-899-5792 or toll-free 888-579-2540. Brad Friedman, my guest, from bradblog.com. Here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has 3 locations to serve you better wherever you live. All 3 locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
"We're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service."
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience, who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
547 now, KRXA 540, and a final traffic report from Amy Knight.
Well, thanks, Peter. Rio Road at Highway 1 in Carmel, you'll find a 2-car collision reported there. Watsonville, 129 at Lakeview Road, a 3-car crash. And still in Grass Fire Clearing, 152 at Dinosaur Point. One last problem, South 101 before Cochrane Road, it's clearing off to the shoulder. Most businesses want to attract customers and not bugs. That's why more companies turn to North America's number one commercial pest control provider, Orkin. To find out why so many trust Orkin, visit OrkinCommercial.com. Have a safe drive home and a great holiday weekend. AV Night with Traffic on KRXA 540.
Now, you drive carefully, Amy, at all times.
Thanks, Peter. It was great working with you.
All right. We'll talk again soon.
Okay.
All right. Amy Night, moving up in the Metro traffic ranks, and we'll have a new traffic reporter with us starting next week here on the afternoon shift at KRXA. And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. And friends, I want you to know I'm planning to take an extended, long holiday weekend like most Americans. And on Monday and Tuesday, you will hear what we call in the business the best of Peter B. Collins. And you can decide whether it's actually the best or not. But these are recent programs that we'll be rebroadcasting so that Matt Renner and I can take a day off, actually two in a row. We'll be back at you live next Wednesday at the regular time on all of these same stations. And I want to thank Joe Foreman, who's at the controls today, doing a great job here on the PBC show. Brad Friedman with us from bradblog.com. And, Brad, now let's talk about the Lou Dobbs appearance. First of all, you look great.
Well, thank you.
Leave it at that. Secondly, you offered a little sidebar on the blog that you live, what, about three blocks from the CNN uplink in Los Angeles?
Yeah, it's the main CNN building out here in L.A.
And yet the day they called you for the first time, you were conveniently located in San Diego.
Yeah, about 2.5-3 hours away.
Uh-huh.
And they said, can you get here in 2 hours? I said, boy, oh boy, I've been waiting for you guys to call. I'll try. So we hightailed it up here, and we actually did make it back here in time, but it would be nice if they called when I was 2 minutes away instead of, you know, 200 or 300 miles away.
Well, it is customary for Fox and CNN to send a town car to pick up guests and bring them to the either the studio or, you know, the little booth where you remotely get plugged into, say, Lou Dobbs. And maybe you should have asked Lou for one of his vigilante buddies to borrow a chopper and fly you up from the border.
Now you tell me. I'm not sure I want to hang out with those vigilante buddies. Certainly get into a helicopter with them, but you make a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it'll be easier next time.
What was really interesting to me when I played the clip, and people can find it at bradblog.com, just scroll down a few items, was that in this report, Lou Dobbs and his reporter focused on a very significant vulnerability, which is the wireless port on these electronic machines.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that I believe you and I talked about this back when I reported it originally in February, that these systems have, some of these systems, these touchscreen systems, have infrared ports on them, which is pretty extraordinary for folks who may not know it, that you know, a lot of your notebook computers and your personal digital assistants, your Palm Pilots, you know, have infrared ports, and those are used to basically you walk up to the system and you can swap data wirelessly in that way. That is just one of the wireless exploits that can be used to get at these systems, as the Brennan report showed, and as Lou Dobbs had picked up on. And it's just another one of these remarkable things that apparently nobody is looking at, nobody is concerned about up at the Elections Assistance Commission, because another report that I just read today has folks at the EAC, that's the main body overseeing e-voting standards in the entire country. Some of the folks who actually wrote those guidelines have now come out and said these systems can be hacked. I hate to bang on the same damn drum every week, Peter. And
yeah, especially
I remember,
because your neighbors are complaining about the noise.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, my neighbor's a radio guy, actually.
Oh,
but as it turns out, you know, I do remember a day when you and I used to talk about other things on this appearance on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
But this has gotten so crazy, so insane, so obviously something that in this country we must be out of our minds if we don't do something about immediately. And your caller, Steve, you know, underscored that point. You bet every single Democrat in Congress, in the House, in the Senate, and of course every single Republican, but I'm not holding my breath, ought to be yelling and screaming, putting every other issue aside, even the war in Iraq, putting it aside and deal for the moment to deal with this issue. Because if this is not dealt with, then you cannot deal with any of those other issues. If you can't vote the guys out or vote the guys in that you want, forget about it. Democracy is finished.
Now, Brad, as I recall, when you first raised the issue about these infrared ports, there was a response from Diebold. And they said, oh, don't worry about it. They're not hooked up or something like that, right, that they weren't activated, that it was just in there for some future potential use?
Right. And apparently in the code, as I understand it, the source code for these programs, there's also references to it for, I guess, what, potential future use? These guys at Diebold will say anything. What is most troubling, the report that I just mentioned, not the Brennan report, but the other one about the EAC, Paul DiGregorio, the head of the EAC, has said, oh, there's nothing to worry about because the wireless transmission that is built into these systems only sends information out. It doesn't, can't receive any information back. Thank God, in the report, and I will be linking it shortly at BradBlog, it shows that there is the Sequoia voting system, which I believe you guys use out there in Monterey, if I
That's
recall.
Yeah.
In fact, not only sends signals out wirelessly, but also receives them back. And that was then the head of the Elections Assistance Commission either lying through his teeth or simply being uninformed about how the very voting systems that he is in place to oversee for the entire nation actually operate.
Yeah. And, Brad, I have to say that when you first reported this, I think I processed it properly and had a sense of the vulnerability caused by this infrared port. But I have to say that the Lou Dobbs package, the news report, really hit home with me and, you know, suggested pretty clearly that with a Palm Pilot, a BlackBerry, or a Trio, that somebody could be sitting across the street from a polling place in a car and manipulate the results as they are stored on one of these machines, either a touchscreen machine or a tabulating machine. And that is one of the most direct breaches or potential breaches that I have seen depicted. And it really made an impact, I just have to say.
And it is even far worse than that, because some of this is things that we have learned since. I mean, he also pointed out that the security on your video games, your Xbox, is far greater than the security on these voting machines. But even beyond what Dobbs had pointed out, we have since learned that it is possible to, if you exploit some very serious vulnerabilities, you can not just do something like that from across the street, but you can access voting machines as they sit in the warehouse election after election after election. In other words, you can send orders from the mothership, so to speak, to these voting machines every damn election via this wireless access.
Then these are actually droids.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It just came to me. It's a George Lucas term. These are droids.
Mm-hmm. But these aren't the droids you're looking for.
Yeah. Now, Brad, you got some interesting validation from the Registrar of Voters in Yolo County, California. And her name is Freddie Oakley, a woman named Freddie Oakley. Mm-hmm. Tell us about this.
Yeah, well, this is an interesting point, you know, because in the wake of this whole Busby Bilbray mess, a lot of folks have said, well, if we cannot send machines home with poll workers, there'll be no way that we can deploy our machines on election day. So we have to send them home with poll workers. And Freddie Oakley, registrar out there, registrar of voters, came out and made quite clearly, and she was happy to have me publish the statement publicly, said, look, if we can't figure out how to deploy these machines securely, then maybe we need to not do it.
Well,
period.
Let me read the quote.
Until we can figure out how to do it.
Then perhaps they ought not to be used at all, period, until the impediment can be removed.
That's it. And she's a registrar of voters, you know, and I've talked to a lot of folks, even election reform folks, who say, well, they have to do this because otherwise they can't hold an election if they don't do it. Well, Freddie Oakley counters that and apparently disagrees with her irresponsible colleague Michael Haas down in San Diego, to say, if we can't do it securely, then sorry, we shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah. Well, Brad, I want to thank you for your work. It's been quite a week for you, and we will all understand if you don't blog for a couple of days just to clear out your system and maybe spend a little time at the beach.
Thank you for that permission. I'm going to try, but I have a feeling it may not be possible. But we'll see.
And Michael Haas, if you're listening, Brad isn't just paranoid. He is a paranoid obsessive.
That's right.
All right, Brad Trigger's here. Let's saddle up and head off into the sunset. You and Desi have a great long holiday weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, my friend. Have a good one.
All right. That's Brad Friedman. Visit bradblog.com. I insist. This is Peter B. You have a great long holiday weekend. We'll be back live next Wednesday on the Peter B. Collins Show.
To you. Keep smiling.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Whitney. One soldier is said to have confessed. Four others are under investigation in the grisly murders of four Iraqi civilians. CBS News correspondent David Martin says the military is looking into reports that a woman was raped, then she and three members of her family were killed and their bodies burned to cover up the crime.
The alleged rape and murders by soldiers in Bravo Company occurred on March 12th in a small town south of Baghdad in the area known as the Triangle of Death. 3 months later, on June 16th, in the nearby town of Yusufia, Privates Christian Menchaca and Thomas Tucker, members of the same Bravo Company, were kidnapped by insurgents and later killed in a way that left their bodies identifiable only through DNA samples.
As a result, other soldiers in the unit were offered post-traumatic stress counseling, and it was during counseling that the crime story came out. There's a bounty on the head of the man who's taken Abu Musab al-Zarqawi's place as the leader of al-Qaeda in Iraq. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice has posted $5 million for information on the whereabouts of Abu Ayyub al-Masri. U.S. intelligence analysts believe it is Osama bin Laden's voice on a new videotaped tribute to Zarqawi, and an Islamic militant website promises another message from bin Laden soon. Tomorrow's forecast calls for thunderstorms at Cape Canaveral, diminishing the chances that Space Shuttle Discovery will get off the launch pad, but the objections of some NASA engineers won't keep it on the ground. CBS News correspondent Peter King is covering.
NASA Administrator Michael Griffin says the media has overblown the controversy surrounding objections to the launch.
What you're seeing is a good process. Maybe you haven't seen it before.
NASA safety officer and lead engineer both lobbied for further redesign of the shuttle's fuel tank to eliminate yet more of the potentially dangerous foam.
We get all those opinions on the table. We get all the background that we have on the table. And then the senior managers have to make a decision. That's what we do.
Peter King, CBS News at the Kennedy Space Center.
The medical examiner in Orange County, Florida, says the 12-year-old boy who died yesterday on a ride at Disney World had a congenital heart defect. The autopsy found no evidence of physical injury. The rock and roller coaster at the MGM theme park resumed operation today. Disney says engineers determined there was nothing wrong with the ride. Boeing will pay a big fine to end a Justice Department investigation of its contracting practices. CBS News reporter Beverly Lumpkin has details.
Boeing will pay the federal